You earned
Good morning.
Good morning.
I call the December 16, 2022 meeting of the MSU Board of Trustees to order. I'd like to move to approval of the proposed agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is
Support.
There a second?
Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The agenda is approved. I now move to approve the minutes of the October 28, 2022 and October 31, 2022 meeting minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The minutes are approved. I'd now like to provide the President's report. As you may have noticed, we've made some changes to our Board of Trustees agenda. Starting now at 9 a.m., we'll give our students a little, and the rest of us, a little bit of the rest we all need. I am honored to preside at the Board of Trustees, at the first Board of Trustees meeting, since my appointment as interim president a month and a half ago. And I am pleased to say that the board and I are working in good faith and in good coordination on the top priorities laid out by our bylaws, customs, and the university's strategic plans. As I said in my first community message, I am all in for MSU. And today, I would like to provide an update on my activities and the good and noble work taking place across our entire university. I've spent much of the last several weeks listening and learning from our community, especially our students. They are, after all, the reason we are all here, and their success is of paramount importance and at the heart of our strategic plan. That is why one of my first acts as interim president was announcing a commission on the student experience. I am developing the formal charge for the group to elevate student voices on such topics as trust and transparency. Thank you again, Joe, for your clarion call. We have heard and are putting it into action. Of course, our commitment to supporting students would be hollow without a similarly substantive commitment to our faculty and staff. That is why I've also made it a priority to engage with them often, including through academic governance and leaders such as Karen Kelly Blake and Stephanie Anthony. And I thank you as individuals as well as proxy for our 5,700 extraordinary faculty and academic staff for your excellence across our tripartite mission, including creating and maintaining a safe and welcoming environment for all. I have directly thanked faculty and staff at the Colleges of Arts and Letters, Veterinary Medicine, Music, and the Honors College over this last month. I have also been visiting our operating units, starting with the Title IX office, a revisit to our Center for Survivors, and the Landscape Services Holiday Lunch and Learn. I look forward to visiting even more units and colleges in the months ahead. I've been stepping up my visits with MSU stakeholders here and around the great state of Michigan. I was very pleased to join Chairperson Byram Monday to celebrate the efforts by the Colleges of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Natural Science, and Veterinary Medicine, and our statewide partners to secure state funding to upgrade our dairy and greenhouse facilities. As your representative of the state's premier land grant institution, it was an honor to gather with our partners across the agricultural community, as well as with state legislators, who helped secure the $53 million commitment to the future of agriculture across this state. Earlier this month, I attended the annual Farm Bureau dinner in Grand Rapids with CANR Dean Kelly Millenbaugh and Trustee Scott. I also toured our Benton Harbor Extension facilities and enjoyed visiting an area farm and multi-generational farm family. We appreciate our partners across the state that elevate the work done on farms, in agribusiness, and by migrant workers. Finally, I traveled to Detroit last week to meet students at Cass Tech and Renaissance High Schools. It was a wonderful experience, and I'm grateful to John Ambrose and Dave Weatherspoon for organizing the trip and so effectively facilitating student recruitment and enrollment at Michigan State University. Well, it's been quite a month. I would be remiss if I didn't also pause to thank Interim Provost Designee Thomas Yitzko for agreeing to step up into my former role as I carry on my new responsibilities. I'm delighted to recommend your appointment later today and know that you will be an outstanding leader. As I've engaged with our community, I have learned about so many examples of faculty, staff, and student success. This morning, I'd like to lift up a few to demonstrate how MSU is continuing to multiply its excellence and impact. We were delighted to learn that Mackin Keefe, an Honors College and College of Social Science senior, was selected for the nationally competitive Mitchell Scholarship, the sixth in MSU history. I spoke with Mackin at the Blanchard Public Service Policy Forum and again this week when visiting the Honors College. I asked him to stay in touch as he pursues graduate education at Trinity College Dublin in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I also want to mention that our controller, Greg DePong, was selected as fellow in the prestigious National Association of College and University Business Officers Fellow Program. This program supports learning opportunities to those seeking a chief business officer position for their next role. So congratulations to Greg, and thank you to all of our extraordinary staff who enable this great university. I also want to congratulate Professor of Practice Sean Turner from the College of Communication Arts and Sciences on being named General Manager of WKAR Public Media. I look forward to watching him lead WKAR into its second century of service. It gives me great pleasure to congratulate the 11 MSU researchers who are recognized in the 2022 highly cited research list compiled by Clarivant Analytics. These faculty members have demonstrated significant and broad influence in their fields over the past decade, and they are truly each one in a thousand among their peers. MSU's research leadership was also recently seen in the NASA Artemis 1 lunar orbit mission, which returned to Earth on Sunday. The capsule carried seeds as part of an MSU Brandeis lab experiment to develop plants that can thrive in harsh conditions of space. What a wonderful extension of William J. Beale's 143-year-old seed viability experiment, illustrating the continuing leadership of MSU's plant science on this planet and beyond. Possibly the most exciting science news in a long time came just this week with the ignition of nuclear fusion at a government laboratory in California. Nuclear fusion promises abundant, sustainable, and clean energy for the world, but that will only come after a great amount of effort, of additional effort in research and engineering. So I'm very proud that Michigan State is leveraging its nuclear physics leadership by heading up one of four national initiatives to develop new mathematical and computational tools to model fusion physics. Congratulations and thank you to Andrew Krislib on this $15 million grant and to all of our research community for the daily ways in which you are working to make our world better. On campus, we are working toward our sustainability goals outlined in the 2030 strategic plan through a variety of means, including the 40 electric vehicles added to our fleet this year and the associated charging infrastructure upgrades. And for the second time, MSU this year earned a gold rating for its sustainability achievements through the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. A great global university needs institutional resources to communicate in multiple languages. I'm very happy to note the opening of MSU's new translation center. It offers services for more than 20 languages under the leadership of Director Tony Grubbs, with staffing from the departments of linguistics, languages and cultures, and romance and classical studies. There's so much more to celebrate our Spartan community, including the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation's top 25 ranking in the Princeton Review for the fifth year in a row. But for now, I'll just highlight two more highlights. Congratulations to the College of Arts and Letters, the Department of African American and African Studies, and its inaugural chairperson, Dr. Ruth Nicole Brown, on the Ascension event celebrating the department's new space in North Kedzie Hall, its new bachelor degree, and the new students who have joined with our new faculty. New leadership, new space, new programs, new students. Ingredients for exciting new learning and doing in this area of study. I was also so pleased to help celebrate the MSU Federal Credit Union's recent $5.5 million gift to support our arts strategy on my recent visit to Detroit. I believe the arts are the spirit of an institution, which is why I'm grateful to the MSU-FCU for helping us enrich the student experience with opportunities for creative expression and engagement with cultural experiences. Art can also help heal, as the university demonstrated with the Finding Our Voice exhibition, co-curated by RVSM survivors and allies at the MSU Museum in 2019. Relationship violence and sexual misconduct prevention has been a major focus for the university, and I appreciate the board's partnership and leading efforts to continually improve what we do and how we do it. Shortly, we will issue a news release announcing that the university has completed 95 actions from a 2019 letter of findings and resolution agreement between MSU, the U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. These agreements stemmed from federal investigations into the handling of high-profile cases from 2018. Some of the more notable actions outlined in the agreement that have been completed include updating the RVSM and Title IX policy, including clear definitions of prohibited conduct, hiring Cozen O'Connor for independent reviews of Title IX-related grievance process and final determinations of Title IX-related matters for 3 academic years, and implementing a training program for MSU healthcare staff on topics such as university RVSM and Title IX policy, university reporting protocol, and resources to support survivors. As I wrote in a recent op-ed for the Lansing State Journal, I am committed to building trust with our university communities around RVSM prevention work. And I want to thank MSU's people for continuing the important work of building a culture of support. As I also noted in my op-ed, a recent report in USA Today noted that MSU receives more RVSM-related reports than any other school it surveyed from 2014 to 2020. Last year alone, we handled 1,774 reports. We also launched more formal investigations and held more students accountable through expulsions for sexual misconduct than in the study's time period. Those facts speak to how we are changing our culture as well as our policies and priorities to support those reporting sexual assault and to prevent it from happening. Think about our new programs, mandatory reporting policies, and the RVSM strategic plan. USA Today called MSU a model for how to address sexual misconduct, dedicating 42 full-time equivalent positions to Title IX cases and survivor advocacy. I'm pleased with our work, but not satisfied, knowing how much more there is to do. The recent internal audit of the Title IX office and the Board of Trustees report offered new recommendations that we are pursuing, including using a contractor to address timeliness issues. We will continue our momentum using what we learned from our RVSM expert advisory work group and this year's No More at MSU campus surveys. We are looking forward to sharing information from that survey next month. We are going above and beyond simple legal compliance in the support and equity services we are providing across campus. In fact, MSU is making its mark in how we respond to incidents of RVSM through resources such as the Center for Survivors, Safe Place, and the Sexual Assault Nurse Education Program. and how we approach prevention and education through the Prevention, Outreach, and Education Department. Meanwhile, we are searching for a new Vice President for Civil Rights and Title IX Education and Compliance. The search is being led by Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer Jabbar Bennett and Campus Police Deputy Chief Andrea Mumford, who is also one of the special advisors to the President on RVSM issues. Many thanks to Dr. Bennett and Deputy Chief Mumford for all their efforts. Each and every decision we make as leaders is consequential to the lives of individuals on this campus. While we may sometimes hear more vocally the concerns for those in positions of power, I hear and am watchful for those who may feel they have no power, who may feel they have no position, who feel they have no possibility of speaking. We create a culture of care by being true to the voiceless who are present in our policies, in our training, and in our actions. The ability to calculate the absence of harm through prevention, the lives lived without fear through action, this change that we seek is difficult. But I know as I shake the hands of our 5,000 graduating students this afternoon and tomorrow, there are those among those hands who would not have completed their degree but for the saving grace of a policy or an administrator who applied the work of our RVSM policies in a way that warded off harm that is ever present in our world. This is the work of this campus that shines out on the shortest days. I'd now like to address the situation around MSU swim and dive teams. Earlier this week, we learned that the U.S. Supreme Court will not hear the university's case challenging a new formula for how Title IX compliance is calculated. To be clear, MSU does not oppose the principles represented by Title IX. Indeed, this case is about Title IX, but it is not against Title IX. To ensure Title IX compliance, universities have long relied on the standard established by federal guidance and practice, as well as settled legal precedent. The Sixth Circuit Court ruling created a new compliance standard that we view as odds with Title IX. It essentially requires a perfect numerical alignment between the university's undergraduate enrollment by gender and athletics participation by gender. Athletics participation and enrollment are both extremely fluid, not only from year to year, but from semester to semester. A frequent need to adjust roster sizes could prompt universities to achieve compliance by cutting teams or individual student athletes, men and women alike. It could have extremely negative consistency and continuity impacts on existing teams and student athletes. Moreover, it creates a different standard for compliance for universities under the jurisdiction of the Sixth Circuit. MSU challenged this new standard because it undermines the interest that Title IX was intended to serve. Even now, with this standard to set to apply to us in the impending trial court, we are not opposing Title IX. Based on today's enrollment, team composition, and proportions of males and females, we are largely in compliance with this new standard. The administration has had several meetings with advocates and supporters over the last month on this topic, but I did want to take this opportunity to correct misperceptions of why we are still in court on this topic. Meanwhile, I've been doing my due diligence on this subject over the past month and understand the decision to eliminate the programs in 2020 was a financial and facilities issue. The decision was precipitous, and to the student athletes, their lives were disrupted. I know the ways in which the decision was made and how their pursuit of their collegiate athletic goals were curtailed felt and feels very unfair. I have worked to gather detailed information on the recurring funding gap and the facility issue, the latter of which remains the biggest issue for MSU. It is not that we don't want a pool. It's how we fund that infrastructure investment in light of other needs in athletics and on the campus. I've engaged with students, with faculty, the board, athletics, and the student athletes, and I regret to say that a funding source has not yet been identified. Our work around swim and dives comes with the decision points that cannot and will not be acceptable to all, and we know that. We strive every day to gather the best data, hear many perspectives, and integrate that thinking into an outcome that enables success. I'm grateful to everyone who has shared their perspective and passion on this subject with me. Now I know we will talk about this later, but I want to thank Trustee Foster for her many years of dedication and service to MSU. It has been a pleasure working with you, and I'm confident you will find ways to continue your long support of this, your alma mater. I'd also like to congratulate newly elected trustee who will be joining the board next month, Dennis Denno, and Trustee Kanaki Jefferson, who last month was elected to a full term. And I want to extend my gratitude to Trustees Byram and Kelly for their service to the board as chair and vice chair. I look forward to working with the new board, which will be constituted in early January. While I'm on the subject of elections, I want to give a shout out to all the students who made an effort to vote and to all those in the university community who encouraged them and supported them through our MSU Vote initiative. Today marks the end of the fall semester and the beginning of our commencement weekend, which is always a busy and exciting time. I look forward to joining many of you at graduation events today and tomorrow to affirm the accomplishments of some 5,000 fall graduates. A big thank you to everyone, faculty, our staff, our leadership, for everything you do to support our students during their educational journeys. It's been an eventful year of challenges and accomplishments for Spartans and a consequential month. I look forward to seeing what we can accomplish together next year. I will deliver a more comprehensive view of MSU and our vision for it in the State of the University Address, January 18th at the Wharton Center. I hope everyone can join us for the event, whether in person or in live stream. And so with that, I'd like to now move to the next item on today's agenda. I now call upon Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, to present the gift, grant, and contract report.
Good morning. Chairperson Byram, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is August 12, 2022 through November 14, 2022. The total value for this period is $210,792,473.
Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report?
So, support.
Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The gift, grant, and contract report is approved. I now call upon Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, to provide the research presentation for this morning.
Whether in a lab, a greenhouse, a dance studio, or a soundstage, discovery and innovation abound at MSU. Today's inspirational presentation is an outstanding example of faculty carrying out our tripartite mission of research, teaching, and outreach. And I predict you'll feel an immense sense of pride when you learn about their work. Mrs. Sadie Rucker is an academic specialist in the College of Music who serves as a coach accompanist for her husband, Professor Mark Rucker, and coordinator of the Vocal Outreach Program. Since 2016, the MSU Vocal Arts Outreach Cabaret has performed for many Michigan schools, rural, urban, and suburban. Mrs. Rucker is also served as publicity director for the Martina Arroyo Foundation's Young Artist Program, Prelude to Performance in New York City. Mark Rucker, baritone, serves as a professor of voice in MSU's College of Music. From the time of his debut in the Masked Ball with Luciano Pavarotti and the Opera Company of Philadelphia, the American baritone has been in demand at opera houses and on concert stages throughout the world. Rucker made his Metropolitan opera debut in Aida and has since been heard at the Met in three other productions and has appeared with many other major opera companies and symphonies around the world. including those in Vienna, Berlin, Amsterdam, Athens, Montreal, Rotterdam, and Jerusalem. He teaches a full studio of undergraduates and graduate voice students, many of whom have gone on to significant professional success. Most recently, his former doctoral student, Brian Major, made his own debut at the Metropolitan Opera. Please welcome Ms. Sadie Rucker and Professor Mark Rucker.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Rucker, members of the Board of Trustees, thank you for having us here. Please, everybody, excuse my back. It is, I hope, not my best feature. Thank you for saying everything that I was afraid to say. This is my wife. This is the most important person in my life. And we didn't say it, but she happens to be my personal accompanist. When we were in school and we met, they said, you should ask her to play for you. I said, great. I went to ask her. I said, how much do you charge? She told me. I woke up 10 hours later. So I had the thought then that it might be a good idea to ask her to marry me. It might be cheaper. I can honestly say I've had my wonderful wife for now 35 years.
Wow.
We do this a lot. And the thing is, of course, it didn't get much cheaper. Anyway, I've been singing in opera for 40 years. It's been a wonderful experience. And in my case, my singing is actually my research, and my traveling to different places. It also constitutes performing in operas and recordings of operas and art songs. Now, we can talk about this, and this is how I got to this school. That picture there is of a building that when I came wasn't all here. But I was in Chicago singing an opera with the Lyric Opera of Chicago when I got a call from this woman. Those of you who don't know who she is will know sooner than later. She called me and said, Mark, they're looking for a baritone teacher to come. I said, good for them. She said, no, you don't understand. You have to come and interview for this. I said, but I'm working. If you know Jane Bunnell, it becomes more and more difficult to say no. So we were in a car driving to Lansing, and we arrived knowing one certainty. Magic Johnson went here. So I came, she talked to me, and she said, I have somebody else for you to meet, and I met this man. This man is the most honest person you will ever meet in your life, because he didn't color code it. I said, well, I'm sorry, but I have some contracts to finish. He said, we don't care. I said, come anyway. And to his benefit, and to my benefit, I should say, he lived up to it. I got to finish some contracts, and he was also the person who gave me the opportunity to sing in one of the most moving performances I've ever had in my career, and that was when we sang Babi Yar here in MSU. And those of you who didn't see it, it's on YouTube. Okay. Then I got to meet this man. This is Dr. David Rayl. If you have any questions about any form of music in your life, ask him. He knows everything. He also was very supportive about my transition, and I certainly appreciated it. He also gave me the opportunity to sing in another performance here of Mendelssohn's Elijah. And I sang with one of the greatest conductors I've ever had the experience of singing with, Dr. David Rail. After all that, I got to meet these folks. This is, Go back again. Okay, there they are. This is Richard Fracker, who is the head of our department and an incredible human being. And this is Melanie Helton, who does our opera. And this is Mark Embry and Nispel Harlan Jennings and the great Elton Little. After talking with these people, it became infectious, their desire to help their students and advance them to whatever field they wanted to go into. So after all that, and a great deal of talking to this woman, we joined the staff. Now, this is one where I get to a point of talking about how I got started in this career, and these two people are important to me because they're my parents. My mother was a singer and an organist, my father a singer and conductor. My father said to me one day, you know, you got a decent voice. You might want to think about it. I said, no, thank you. He said, well, you're going to go to high school, and you're going to meet one of my accompanists. He knew a lot of them. And he said, you're going to talk to her. I went to high school and played football. Basically, to avoid anything he had to say. I was a halfback, and I met this woman. This woman is my life. She is Dr. Lena Johnson McLean. She was my high school teacher in choir. This is the reason that I am so incredibly supportive of high school and elementary school teachers. These are the people that make our lives what they are today. And I don't think they get supported enough. So I'm going to keep pushing for that. Now, lest you think that this woman was a nice, docile human being, I have a little story about her. As I said, I was playing football. I also started off playing saxophone in the band. I was not in the choir, to my father's chagrin. I went to play. I was asked to play in a group that was playing for her choir. And they were doing a song by the Carpenters called Close to You. There were 100 people in that choir. I was standing off to the side humming. She said, stop. And she looked at me and she said, come here. I grabbed the saxophone. She said, leave the damn sax. Put the sax down and came up. She said, sing. I said, I don't think so. I said, not in front of 100 people. She said, nope, sing anyway. These people were the last day of class. In the last hour of classes, they wanted to go home. They started to get vicious. So I sang. They laughed. I left dejected. And the next time I came in to sign up for football, they said, I'm sorry, you can't sign up for football because you failed music theory. I said, that's impossible. I had great grades in music theory. There's something wrong. They said, well, you have to take it up with the teacher. Can't tell you who that was. I went to her, I said, Miss McLean, there's been some sort of misunderstanding. They said, I failed music theory and I can't play football. She said, I'm sorry, you did. I said, how is that possible? She said, well, I failed you. I said, okay, I understand why that's possible. She said, I have a solution, though. If you join choir, I'll pass you. For lack of a better term, I thought that was blackmail. She then said, no, that's not. I went home, told my father, who knew her, and told him what this was, this crazy woman, and he said, you've got a choice. I said, join the choir, play football. Don't join the choir, don't play football. I wanted to be the next Gale Sayers, so I said, okay, but I'm not going to sing anything. I sat there mute for the first 2 weeks, and she said, you will be singing. Then she stood up, and she announced in front of everybody that I was going to sing at the Met. I thought it was a museum. So why does anybody sing there anyway? I don't know. So I made my Metropolitan Opera debut in 2004. That crazy black woman was in the front row. I owe her my life. So, and, oh, I should tell, this is my coach, by the way. I should tell you that this is all in the south side of Chicago. And the reason that we bring that up is because Chicago has gotten some rather bad press lately. Justifiable bad press, but it's gotten it just the same. It's because of people like this that people go on to live. She didn't always have the greatest singer come out, but she had the next doctor come out. She had the next lawyer come out. She had the next child get to be older than 20. So I am eternally grateful to every high school teacher in the world that has that kind of dedication. So, and we go on from there. I will say that my teaching style is based on her, with the possible exception of the blackmail. Which I'm not too sure about that either. Okay. These are some of the, somebody's asked me about some of the places that I've sung. These next slides are going to be some of the houses and places that I've been singing in. This is the place that you ask, how do you get there? Practice, practice, practice. This is Carnegie Hall. I don't know about that. They just called me. I said, oh, okay, great. And I sang Don Carlo in La Forza del Destino with some incredible singers. My biggest thing for that was one of the singers was Simon Estes. And Simon Estes, if you don't know, is probably one of the greatest black baritones ever. I got to sing on stage with him. I don't remember anything else after that. Anyway, but that performance was important to me because it led to this house. This is the Metropolitan Opera. If you don't know, this is the most intimidating place to see from the outside that you will ever imagine. Because you think, I'm going to be there. The other part of it that made it so great was they have a wonderful gold curtain. When you walk through the curtain for your ovations that you hope you get, you realize how many people came before you. And I am eternally grateful because all of a sudden I thought Leontine came through here. Amen. Okay. This other place I sang at, I made my debut at, is the Arena di Verona in Italy. Now, this is a Colosseum. It's a real Colosseum, by the way. That's not photoshopped. And it seats 15,000 people. When I walked out for the bow, the ovation was unbelievably tremendous. I was almost in tears for this ovation, people screaming and hollering, until I realized that the Italians had just won the World Cup. Needless to say, there was a little bit of bowing after that. This next place is the Bregenz Festival in Austria. There you go. All right. As you know, it's a tremendous place to be. That is a wall that is 50-plus feet in the air. My first entrance was on a crane over that wall. Now, I say that and think that you think I am a very, very, I have a lot of patience for this kind of thing. I don't. But the Italian baritone left. When he found out, that's why we were getting on stage. That scene is, the wall has now parted. In that window up on the left, you see I'm there, hanging on for dear life. Yeah, the opera is Babucco. However, those two little white things going down in the background are not part of the set. They are real. That set is completely metal. The thing I was going over on the top floor, metal. I said, thank you, God, for letting me get through this one. I've sung with a lot of great singers, some historic singers, but none more important than this man. This is Luciano Pavarotti. Luciano Pavarotti and I sang Ballo in Maschera some time ago, 1850, 60, whatever it was. He was in the competition. I have the competition for him that I won, along with 8,000 other people probably. And we were doing the scene where we have to hide him, so we have to change capes. You see, he's taller than me. He's also quite a bit larger. So when he took off his cape, I couldn't quite find the top of it. So I'm fumbling for his cape. When all of a sudden I realized, this man has no pants on. This is a dress rehearsal that I will never forget as long as I live. Okay. These are some of the roles that I've had the pleasure of doing. They go with Amenasro at the Met in Aida. They go with Flying Dutchman in Bologna, Italy, and Count de Luna in Opera Pacific, California, Scarpia in Tosca, Macbeth, Renato in Un Ballo in Maschera, Rigoletto, and Germont. Now, I will say something about the Macbeth, because as I say, Dr. Dean Forger has allowed me to continue to try to sing, and I appreciate that, but primarily my reason for doing this is so I can help my students, so I can help them get to where they need to get to. It becomes rather difficult, as you all probably know, to get started. And so it's our goal and my colleagues' goals to help them get there. So some of the places that I've been there after starting here, I sang in Covent Garden in London, which was great because it was a five-hour difference. So after the rehearsal, I went back to my hotel room, set up my computer, and started teaching. I went and did the Aida in Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires. Same situation with the hours. Hey! Of course, I was asleep after that. And then this one for the Macbeth. This is probably the most exciting I've ever been in my entire life. Not just because of singing Macbeth. I'd sung that several times. But in this particular case, the young man singing the Banquo was a young man named Zike Pan Song, who was the teacher of Richard, who was his teacher, Richard Fracker. He was singing next to me. That made everything great, because that meant this was working. And I almost literally forgot my words because I was standing there looking at him. Extremely exciting. The other thing of that was, in the audience was about six MSU students. And that told them this is possible. And it was wonderful. I will be singing, in case you wanted to know, I will be singing Amenasro in Grand Rapids this season. In May. Thank you. Okay. So, as I say, one of the reasons I'm doing this is for people like these two gentlemen. As you heard, the gentleman on the left is Brian Major. And I helped Brian to get started. He didn't need much. Because if you ever heard him sing, you know, it's incredible. Okay. So, but now, before I continue this, I think it's time to do something about Lena McLin. So, I'm going to sing Pray For Me. It's early. And this is a piece that she wrote, or arranged, I should say, called Hold Out Your Light. And again, forgive my bad.
soldiers, let your light shine around this world. Oh, brother, won't you hold out your light? Oh, brother, won't you hold out your light? Oh, brother, won't you hold out your light? Let your light shine around this world.
Hold out your light, ye
earthbound soldiers. Hold out your light, ye earthbound soldiers. Hold out your light, ye earthbound soldiers. Let your light shine around this world. Oh, Christian, won't you hold out your light? Oh, Christian, won't you hold out your light? Oh, sister, oh, brother, won't you hold out your light? Let your light shine around this world.
Thank you. Thank you. She had more of those. I got to sing a lot of them because I got to record her pieces. Anyway, back to these gentlemen. This other gentleman here is Ben Reisinger. Oh, incidentally, Brian was a DMA student here. He came with a voice. He finished with a great voice. Anyway, the next young man is Ben Reisinger, who is one of the students who is here as a master's student. He is now a resident artist in Detroit. So here's Brian. Here's Brian. There he is. Showing you his name on the poster. We were proud to see that he hadn't pasted it in. And this has been singing for Detroit Opera. These two gentlemen, I am extremely proud of. Okay. Then we go to this lady. If you don't know, this is Martina Arroyo, one of the greatest sopranos ever to live. And Martina has a program called Prelude to Performance, which meets in the summer. And I am the artistic director of the program. My wife is publicity, and as you can tell, she's good at that. This program, both those gentlemen were part of, and it pleases me to say that at least another 10 of MSU students participated in the program. The program is on hiatus thanks to COVID, but we will come back, and we will have more MSU students because they're some of the finest in the world. I'm proud to say. This next slide is an individual I have no idea who he is, but more importantly, the people behind him. This is the Vocal Outreach Program. This program was designed by my wife, but the idea from it came from this man. He did it. He's responsible. So when we screw up, we just point to him. No, actually, it is an extremely successful situation because we get to sing and perform in front of all those people. And I will say that we've reached over 100 schools in the Michigan state. And out of those schools, it's basically for trying to get to underprivileged, underserved communities, because they need our help, too, and they need to be here, too. And as a result of that and a lot of other things that our vocal staff has come up with, at least 35% of the vocal music program now is people of color. And I'd like to see that higher. But one thing that all of this does is that it shows us that some of these kids just can't make it alone, that they have to have help. And this university has been unbelievably supportive of that help. And that's one of the reasons that we enjoy being here, is because this is like a family. And those kids come to MSU, because when I first got here, it was some kids, but the dean said very quickly, it's your job to go out and get them. So I was on the street corner. No, okay. Anyway, I have about 18 to 20 kids in my studio, and it is a full-time studio. And I have never been more happy than I am when one of them progresses. Not unlike almost any other professor in this campus. All of our jobs is geared toward helping these students. I don't care what kind of awards we get. I don't care what kind of accolades come our way. There is nothing more important than the students. So, these are some of the schools we've been to since we started. There are just a few of them, and those are some of the kids that we got to see. And we have been successful in getting some of them here. So, having said all that, we come to the end of the semester. Thank you, God. And the end of the year. And considering all the negative things we've been through lately, I think it's some time for some fun, some time for some joy in our lives. So I've elected to sing, as the last thing, a spiritual called Right on King Jesus, in the hope that it will show that spirit. Again, thank you for having me, and I really much enjoyed the fact that I got through this.
Lord, oh, Jesus Christ.
Mark, we're ready to hold out our lights.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to, take a picture with them.
I
Now call upon the board to approve the first personnel action, which is one that I will read. I am pleased to recommend Thomas D. Yitzko, Ph.D., Senior Associate Provost, Professor, Department of Economics, for a change in title to Interim Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs, and a change in salary effective November 4, 2022. Is there a motion to approve the appointment?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The appointment is approved. It is now my pleasure to call upon Interim Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs, Yitzko, to present additional personnel actions and information reports.
Thank you very much. Trustees, I present for approval the items on the December 2022 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointments. Andrea L. Case, Ph.D., Professor, Department of Plant Biology, with tenure, effective January 1st, 2023. Chris Blackwood, Ph.D., Professor, Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences, with tenure, effective January 1st, 2023. Michael Hickner, Ph.D., Professor, Department of Chemical Engineering and Material Sciences, with tenure, effective January 1st, 2023. Also included in your materials are information reports for other academic personnel actions.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the faculty appointments?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The faculty appointments are approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now move to the Board of Trustees committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the Committee on Budget and Finance report.
Thank you, Interim President Woodruff. The board received updates on construction and facilities, land use, and investments. Since the October Board of Trustees meeting, Interim President Woodruff, A.D. Haller, and other members of the MSU administration have met with a variety of stakeholders to discuss scenarios around potentially establishing a swim and dive program at Michigan State University. Issues considered included the time it would take to establish a program aligned with the standards the Intercollegiate Athletics Department sets for all sports, specifically around holistic support for student athletes on and off the playing field, the long-term need for a facility, and a potential cost-share arrangement between athletics and external fundraising efforts to support the operating costs of a program, similar to how other existing athletic teams also fundraise for portions of their team's annual operating expenses. The administration provided an update to the Board of Trustees and satisfied our interest in a final exploration of potential options. In reviewing the intersecting pieces necessary to form a program and the financial challenges that remain, we do not see a viable path to establish a swim and dive program. Most prohibitively, without sufficient existing fundraising, there is not a path to build a new competition pool without assessing a fee to the entire student body, something we do not wish to do. We appreciate the advocacy those supporting a swim and dive program have shown. While we know this is not the answer supporters are seeking, we feel we owe an honest, transparent, and definitive statement on this issue. That concludes my report.
Committee on Academic Affairs, Trustee Diane Byram will now present the Committee on Academic Affairs report.
Thank you.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the board hereby approves the establishment of the Charles Stewart Mott Department of Public Health at Michigan State University College of Human Medicine.
Is there a motion to approve the Academic Affairs report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I would yield to Dr. Beauchamp.
Thank you so much. Universities exist to serve communities. We do this by listening closely and learning and determining how we can serve, being authentic and building trust. Done correctly, it is uplifting for communities, students, faculty, and staff. No effort is more demonstrative of partnership done correctly than our work with the amazing people of Flint. I'd like to ask Dr. McCullough, if you could, to come to the podium and share a little bit with all of us about this initiative, please.
Thank you, Dr. Beauchamp. I'm Wayne McCullough. I'm currently the interim director of the Division of Public Health in Flint, Michigan. This is really an initiative that was started by many well over 10 years ago. Dean Aaron Souza is a principal in that activity, who worked with the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation for initial seed funding to develop the Division of Public Health. It was a seed grant that allowed the division to be initiated in Flint, Michigan in 2015, where we hired our first faculty person. That first faculty person is still with us and has just received a center grant for $15 million. Overall, the Division of Public Health has now had grant funding of over $115 million since its inception, and we have now three important legs to the stool of public health. We have, of course, the research, again, $115 million of funding since basically 2015. We have the Pediatric Public Health Initiative, which does a lot of the interventional activities, headed by Mona Hanna Atisha, who incidentally has received about $50 million of that $115. Very important work servicing the children and families of Flint. And we are, you know, very blessed to have that activity. And then the third leg of that stool is the Master of Public Health program, where we have about 22 full and part-time faculty recently accredited by the Council on Education and Public Health. These are the principal parts of that which carry the research, educational, and very importantly, interventional legs of public health. We look forward to your support in granting this important department being added to Michigan State University. I'm happy to entertain any questions that you might have about what we're doing there.
Trustees, there's a motion to approve the Academic Affairs Report. Is there a motion?
There's motion.
Oh, it was motion second. It was discussed. Okay. Now we call for the vote. Thank you.
Trustee Byram.
Yes.
Trustee Foster.
Yes.
Trustee Panaki Jefferson.
Yes.
Trustee Kelly.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Tebe.
Yes.
Trustee Vassar.
Yes.
The motion carries.
This concludes my report.
Thank you. I now call on Trustee Dan Kelly to present the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance report.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: an option agreement with Akella Bio LLC, a loan agreement with Brinkner, Inc., a sponsored research agreement with ArrowQ, Inc., a service agreement with Motion Glazer AI, and a purchase agreement with Gary Powell. All of the agreements are consistent with earlier public notice given at prior board meetings. The related term sheets are presented to the board for inclusion in the minutes.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the Audit, Risk, and Compliance report?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion?
Good
This is not roll call.
No.
Okay.
Just all those.
All those in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to call upon Trustee Brianna Scott to provide the Committee on Student Life and Culture report.
Thank you. The Committee on Student Life and Culture has no report.
Thank you very much. I now call upon Acting Board Secretary Brian Quinn to invite public participation.
We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. We will now hear from Carl Bednarski, followed by Shawnee Vickery.
Thank you, trustees, for the opportunity to address you here this morning. I am not going to sing this morning for you. I apologize for that, but it might be best that I refrain from doing that. But I'm here, though, representing Michigan Farm Bureau. It's the largest general farm organization in the state, and we do have very close ties with the university. Just a little history. 103 years ago, we were formed on this very campus. Our name was Michigan State Farm Bureau, and we've continued to have that relationship over those years. And I'm here just to give you a vote of confidence. I want to thank you for the decisions you made on the greenhouse and the dairy facility. We look at those opportunities as a teaching ability. And as a university being that land grant pioneer, we need the best, and we expect the best out of Michigan State University, and you provided that for those students. So thank you for doing that and your leadership. Also, I just want to thank you, too, also for your leadership and a couple appointments that you have recently made. You know, we take a look at the College of Ag and Natural Resources. You accepted the position for Dr. Kelly Mellenbaugh to be the dean of that college. Great choice, very supportive, very positive out amongst our communities. Thank you for recognizing Kelly for that position. Fantastic. Also, one that may be on a little higher scale, when we take a look at our interim president, Dr. Teresa Woodruff. We support Dr. Teresa Woodruff of being that interim president. Thank you for making that decision. I mean, with those two individuals, we see an opportunity to move forward, to unite a little bit more as a university. They have the dedication, the passion for this university, and we're real excited to be able to help those individuals to help you in any way we can as we proceed to move forward. It's just a great opportunity. I know all of you have been through a lot in the past few years. We all have been through a lot. Let's try to focus on moving forward. Let's see what we can do to make sure this university stays as a premier land-grant university in so many different ways. Thank you again, and I just, in wrapping up, want to make one comment that we will have one person at your trustees meeting just for support. They may not ever speak, but we want to have one here to at least give the background of what's going on and to be able to reach out for you or for them if anything is needed. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. We will now hear from Shawnee Vickery, followed by Alec McGarry.
Before I begin, I just want to take the opportunity to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I am reading a letter to the board from a group of endowed professors in the Byrd College at Michigan State. Dear trustees, thank you for engaging an outside law firm to perform a thorough and independent investigation regarding the dismissal of Dr. Gupta as dean of the Broad College. We respectfully request the release of the results of this investigation in the spirit of transparency promised by the board and the university. And I might note that there were a lot of promises today in this meeting of transparency and trust. Releasing the report would be consistent with the trend toward greater transparency among university boards. A relevant example of greater transparency is the recent release by U of M's Board of Regents of 118 pages of emails about the university's president's inappropriate relationship with a subordinate. As senior professors in the Broad College, we strongly believe that releasing the report will allow our college and its varied stakeholders to fully understand what happened to cause us to lose a highly respected dean. Also, this understanding will be critical in our efforts to hire a new dean. It will demonstrate the board's understanding of the need for transparency and therefore demonstrate that the board can successfully steer MSU through this difficult time. This should also help MSU's effort to hire a new president. In the spirit of transparency, we also request the release of the report on President Stanley's handling of OIE reports, something sought by MSU students and faculty, according to a state news article of 9/12/2022. And the OIE report on the investigation into the alleged inappropriate behavior of the Broad College's faculty member that apparently triggered the sequence of events leading to Dean Gupta's forced resignation. This latter investigation was started 6 months ago, and to our knowledge, no report has been issued. If the university is serious about improving the processes and procedures and seeks to be viewed as a world-class academic institution, full disclosure of these reports is critical. This will help us continue to learn from past mistakes and demonstrate that we are an institution that no longer hides from its shortcomings, but instead faces them. And I'd like to read the quote that ends this letter from Maria Ressa. Without facts, you cannot have truth, and without truth, you cannot have trust. And we are calling for not words about how we're going to be accountable and how we're going to be transparent. We're calling for action and accountability. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from Alex McCary, followed by Nancy Vella.
Dear Board of Trustees, I stand before you today representing the Board, the Broad School of Business Advisory Board, the Financial Market Institute Board, and distinguished alumni and supporter of the Broad College of Business, Edward Minskoff. The Broad Advisory Board and FMI board members fully support the Board of Trustees in their hiring of Quinn Emanuel Law Firm to conduct a thorough and independent investigation of the dismissal of Dean Sanjay Gupta. We believe this investigation, with full transparency, is the only way to gather all the facts surrounding the events of Dean Gupta's dismissal. We expect the Board of Trustees to follow its own code of ethics and conduct rules, which supports open communication, transparency, and importantly, will not condone any form of deceit, incivility, intimidation, silencing, retaliation, or abuse of power. However, we have become concerned that some of these rules have not been followed by certain parties throughout the dismissal of Dean Gupta and now with the investigative part of this process. We request that the Board of Trustees be accountable for why Interim President Woodruff and other members of the administrative staff have not cooperated with this investigation that the Board of Trustees initiated with a 7-1 vote. Former President Stanley and then Provost Woodruff have expressed publicly that others do not need to cooperate with the investigation. And in some cases, people in this administration have told professors in the College of Business to not talk with Quinn Emanuel or even Dean Gupta. This has continued even after Interim President Woodruff stated at the last public Board of Trustees meeting where she was nominated that she would cooperate. We ask, why are you not cooperating? What are administrative staff of MSU afraid of? What does the Board of Trustees and MSU administration not want the public to know? Quinn Emanuel was hired to discover the facts, why anyone would not want the facts to be known. Why wouldn't you? We just want the facts and truth. That is why Michigan State has a code of ethics and conduct. Please make sure it is being followed and there is full transparency in the reporting of the results of this investigation. I would also like to share some words from Mr. Edward Minskoff, who is unable to join us today, but wanted the Board of Trustees to know his thoughts. Quote, I would like it to be known that I emphatically believe that Dean Sanjay Gupta should be reinstated immediately as the Dean of the Broad College of Business, and I stress that it is important for the investigation of his dismissal be made public. One of the main reasons for my contribution to the new pavilion, business pavilion, was because of Sanjay, who is an outstanding educator. The Broad Advisory Board, the FMI Board, and Mr. Minskoff are all seeking the same thing, which is the release of the results of this investigation in the spirit of transparency, accountability, and the ethical code of conduct laid out by the Board of Trustees. Thank you. Go Green.
We will now hear from Nancy Vella, followed by Blake Madej.
Good morning, Board of Trustees. My name is Nancy Vella, and I'm a 1979 graduate of the Broad College. I have served on the Broad College Advisory Board and was president in 2018. I was Deloitte's lead Michigan State University relationship partner and fundraiser for many years during my 40-year career. Through my leadership, over $3 million was raised, including two full-time endowed professors and $1 million for the business school pavilion. I understand the board was presented the findings of the Quinn Emanuel investigation yesterday. Now that all the facts are known by the board, you have an obligation to disclose the full report to the public. Anything less is a lack of transparency. The transparency of this board and the fulfillment of its fiduciary duty to the university and the people of the state of Michigan can only be achieved if this report is released in its entirety, not buried, not sanitized, and not redacted. You are misguided if you believe that holding back all or part of the report is a way to protect the university. I have known and worked with Sanjay Gupta for more than 15 years. He is a role model who is transparent and ethical. This was highlighted in the positive review Sanjay received in mid-June from the then provost, Teresa Woodruff. From what I have learned, the actions of Woodruff surrounding the removal of Sanjay as dean of the College of Business in mid-August appears to have lacked due process. Sanjay, like so many of us, seeks the disclosure of the full report of the facts. He is the one accused of missing a mandatory reporting requirement, even though leadership of the college had already reported the incident. He, too, wants full disclosure. The university and some of the current board members have failed in the past to take appropriate action and make full disclosure when they should have done so. I hope you do not repeat past mistakes. Any cover-up of all the facts by the board will only result in the continuation of unethical behavior by those in charge and greater harm to this university. How can you, as board members, pretend nothing is wrong? Why is it you don't strive for transparency and doing the right thing? I don't know too many faculty, students, donors, or alumni who would choose to support a university's unethical behavior. We don't need lip service about transparency. We need forthright action. As a longtime supporter of the College of Business, I will no longer support the college and university unless the aforementioned matters are resolved. Although I am only one person, don't underestimate the power of the College of Business alumni. As business leaders, we will not stand idle. Thank you.
We will now hear from Blake Madej, followed by Nathan Fetz.
Good morning. Good morning, trustees and other stakeholders of Michigan State University. My name is Blake Madej, and I'm a senior in the Eli Broad College of Business. I speak to you today on behalf of the Broad Student Senate, a representative student organization of the Broad College that I've been proud to be a part of for all 4 years of my college experience. on September 21st, 2022, after hearing conflicting narratives surrounding the departure of Dean Sanjay Gupta, the Broad Student Senate wrote to the Board of Trustees in an effort to encourage an independent investigation into the events and processes preceding Dean Gupta's resignation. We also respectfully requested that the results of this independent investigation be shared with the students of the Broad College of Business. Having received no formal response from the board in nearly 3 months since the delivery of this original letter, I'm here to speak again on behalf of our organization by reading a second letter, which was delivered to the board on December 13, 2022. It reads the following. Dear Board of Trustees, it is with great concern that we, the Broad Student Senate, write to you in an effort to achieve the transparency this board and university administration has so often promised students and other stakeholders of Michigan State University. We are following up in response to our September 21st letter, which applauded the Board of Trustees' decision to independently investigate the events and processes preceding Dean Sanjay Gupta's removal. In our previous communication, we respectfully requested that the results of this independent investigation be shared with the students and stakeholders of the Broad College of Business. In the 11 weeks since that letter, there has been no direct communication with the students on this topic or any other topic surrounding Dean Gupta's resignation. As a representative student voice of the Broad College, we continue to find it concerning that students within the college have only learned of developments related to our dean through third-party methods and publications. This lack of transparency will continue to disrupt Michigan State University and the Broad College until appropriately rectified. Students are the most important stakeholder in any university, and transparency from university administration is a basic requirement of successful academic governance. It is our hope that the Board of Trustees will emphasize the importance of truth and transparency in a decision to publicly release a final and detailed report of the findings of the Quinn Emanuel investigation into the resignation of Dean Gupta. Respectfully, Broad Student Senate. With that, thank you, trustees, for your time and consideration this morning.
We will now hear from Nathan Fett, followed by James Thurston. Nathan Fett. We will now hear from James Thurston, followed by Michael Balow.
Interim President Woodruff, as you noted in your prepared remarks, you've been handed a Title IX case going to trial in January that you had no part in. That sucks, and I'm sorry. But how this case proceeds and how MSU is portrayed nationally is solely and exclusively on your shoulders based upon whether or not you choose to accept the settlement offer of the women's swimming and diving plaintiffs, who, as of today, still have not received a response or an acknowledgement from MSU. I question whether or not the legal policies of this university are being set by Brian Schwartz and Scott Eldridge of Miller Canfield, or are they being set by Brian Quinn? Regardless, these men's actions remain unchecked. Are these men so arrogant to believe that they are smarter than the Department of Justice, Department of Education, and the appellate court on Title IX issues, who all sided with the plaintiffs? And from your prepared remarks, President Woodruff, the accuracy which you claim to exist that these entities seek is simply not true. No reasonable person would expect that level of accuracy. Should the legal policy of this university also include siding with Ohio State against their Nassar-like victims in front of the Supreme Court, which was clearly a quid pro quo? Ohio State and the attorneys general of the SEC states are simply using MSU as a proxy war against their own Title IX compliance, since they are significantly more non-compliant than MSU. Only lawyers are winning and profiting here. Maybe it's time for a second opinion on these legal policies, which are clearly flawed, before you go to trial. I would recommend MSU be like former football player Trev Alberts, the AD at Nebraska, who is actually seeking to follow the Title IX standards set by the DOJ and Department of Ed. Sounds like MSU is continuing down this path, in which case it will be the Title IX case for collegiate athletics this century. I have said this countless times. MSU is going to have to add more athletes than it cut when, not if, it loses, and at its own expense. This case was over a year ago when the DOJ and Department of Ed sided with the plaintiffs. And quite frankly, with every passing day, I want to see Mr. Quinn, Schwartz, and Eldridge buried for their arrogance. So paraphrasing your own words, and changing it after your remarks, are you educatable by your journey? Do you demand yourself to be accountable? Are you satisfied that women feel enabled to achieve their mission in life? Because, quote, our commitment is created by the difference we make. Will you be that agent of change? I hope that you choose leadership of multiple other women at this university, whom I could name, who are either standing in the way, Diane Byram, or remain silent or had been silenced, like the meeting I had canceled on Title IX rights of women. Finally, last year I spoke painfully of private matters of the millions of dollars MSU would lose from me if it continued down this path and lost this case. You talk about not having the funding. I made one phone call and raised $1 million. One. We have not even tried. We have stalking horse bids to go out here and try to raise fundraising, and you will not even engage us. I love this university, but no one is willing to respond to an email or pick up a phone. This is both insulting and infuriating to me. Thankfully, Northwestern, where I got my master's and my father's alma mater, has been great to talk to. My choice of purple today is not by coincidence. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from we'll now hear from Michael Baylow, followed by Maggie Height.
Good morning to everyone. This is really something. I mean, this meeting never disappoints, does it? It just never does. It's been 2 years since I've appeared before you, and probably 16 straight meetings. And let me tell you, after what I heard this morning, there's probably no end in sight. As most of you know, I ran on a platform for trustee of honesty and openness. And in a year where people with an R after their name were soundly defeated, somehow I lost by 7,700 votes out of 2 million. And that tells me it wasn't about me. It was about the message that the people of this state embraced, which is that their flagship public university, they deserve and demand accountability and honesty from the president and the administration and the board. Honesty, accountability, and leadership to do what's right. Three Christmas wishes for all of you from me. Think about that. No one knew who the heck I was, but this kid from the east side of Detroit almost was elected to trustees. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a politician, just someone who cares about my kids and yours too, and someone who has the ability to build bridges and lead by example. So I'll say this. I'm ready to go another round, and this time I'm starting from a much stronger position. I'll be here with you throughout 2023 to watch carefully your actions and speak where necessary. Please don't make it necessary for me to speak. I don't enjoy this. I've said before the fact that many people feel the need to come and speak during this three-minute period is a fail. This room shouldn't look like this. It looks like this because nobody's doing their job here. We need an administration and trustees who will do what's right, such as release 6,000 Nassar-era documents finally. Release reports that these people are talking about. Talk to the alumni who care about their programs. Stop trying to claim poverty within the athletic department. And stop funding things on behalf of Ohio State, which violate the very principles on which this university was founded, Mr. Quinn. So I'm going to say this, too, just to set the record straight, Trustee Foster. How you got to the conclusion that you announced is a mystery to me, because to date there's been no meeting with the alumni when we have potential multiple seven-figure donors. Do that math for a second. There's only been two meetings with the student-athletes since October 28th. One with Athletic Director Haller and one with Interim President Woodruff. The message was very different in the both. On the first hand, it was, we need a nutritionist, we need a trainer. And on the second, it was, maybe we need $6.5 million in OPEX. And now the pool is back in play. And I'm telling you right now, MSU is actively planning to build what you call a competition pool. It has stands for 1,000, 50 meters. The only thing it doesn't have is a locker room, and the alumni group could easily be tasked with that delta. And I'm not trying to negotiate. I'm just trying to set the record straight. We have multiple people that are willing to engage, and I will not accept, and I will use 2023 as the platform to continue to say that MSU is not being truthful with its alumni its students, or other stakeholders. And until you are, you're going to have a fight on your hands. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear from Maggie Height, followed by Matthew Califf.
Hello, my name is Maggie Height. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm involved in quite a few things around campus. I'm a senior in fisheries and wildlife with a few minors. I'm an RA in Shaw Hall. I've been involved in research for all four of my years, and I'm currently a co-author on an environmental justice paper, which is currently under review and likely to be published next year. More importantly for right now, I've been one of the core team members of the Sunrise Movement at Michigan State University for the past 3 years. I'm sure you all remember us quite well from, like, the entire last year and a half. But right now, you are all in a much different place than you were 2 months ago. You have a lot more ability to make some big and important changes that would benefit MSU, the students, and the state. A quick recap on what divestment is and why it's so important from a STEM major perspective. So fossil fuels are hydrocarbon compounds that formed as a result of mostly anaerobic decomposition of plants and animals over the last 500 million years. Humans started burning fossil fuels at a noticeable rate in the last 300 or so years. We're set to run out of oil by 2052, natural gas by 2060, and coal by 2090. Humans have been the main driver of climate change since the 1800s, and we've only increased fossil fuel use at an exponential rate since then. It's almost impossible for us to not hit 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming, and we're on track to hit the irreversible damage of 3 degrees Celsius within this century. The state of Michigan as a whole will experience immense shifts, with warmer water not being suitable for our stocked salmonid species, with cumulative ice days on rivers and lakes decreasing rapidly, likely leading to blue-green algae outcompeting native zooplankton. This will lead to more harmful algal blooms, which leak hepatotoxins, neurotoxins, and dermatoxins into the water, which can kill animals and severely sicken humans. This will also cause fish die-offs from both those toxins and hypoxia, which is essentially the asphyxiation of body tissue. As someone who wants to go into aquatic systems management in Michigan, I want to have safe water and living fish to manage. As we've mentioned before, MSU has nearly $90 million invested in fossil fuels, and you've said it's not that big of a priority because it's only 2% of your investment portfolio, and you have a responsibility to keep your deals. You have a responsibility to your students and the entire state of Michigan to have their best interests at heart. I will never see $90 million in my life. Hearing all of the huge numbers of millions of dollars has been crazy to me. On a non-entry-level fisheries manager salary at the Department of Natural Resources, it would take me 2,000 years before taxes to earn $90 million. Think the impact that the 2,000 years of work could have on Flint's water, Detroit's flood infrastructure, or food security throughout the state. Students have been asking MSU to divest from fossil fuels for over a decade at this point. You have the opportunity and power to get it done, so do it. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from Matthew Califf, followed by Camille Duvernois.
Hi, I'm Matthew Califf. I'm a junior taking poli-sci. I'm also with Sunrise, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but as problematic as O'Keefe was, he had a point. You are not transparent enough. Even though many groups across our community voice concern about the lack of transparency, you lack the willpower to make any change. Moreover, ASMSU, the University Sustainable Working Group, the faculty and the staff on campus have stated you should have public meetings and student representatives on the board. But the fact that there are still backdoor decisions being made tells me that you don't care. I hope that in the future you will find the willpower and the passion to make these changes. The problem with your lack of transparency is that it leads to a lack of trust and accountability, especially with divestment. The secrecy that you maintain is neither supportive nor useful to the students that you promise to serve. You speak of contracts that you want to uphold, but that we never see. If you were to treat them as you do your students, you would have broken them long ago. Are our futures not worth as much as some change and a thin sheet of paper. You act as if your words mean anything, but you show us every day that they are worthless. Not just by the lack of action, but by what is unseen. As things currently stand, we can't trust you. You could tell us over and over again. You may cry out adamantly, stating what you want us to think you believe, but ultimately your actions show that you truly... Your actions show what you truly believe, and the only action we have seen from you is denying our right to a future. You are invisible to the student's eyes, but you make decisions that affect us every day without any way of us staying informed. Governments can only be put to account with a well-informed public, but your secrecy prevents that from happening. We want to trust you. We want to help you, but we cannot without any information coming to us. The students, those who you represent. We have called for student representatives on the board to assure we have a voice. We have done so much to try to tell you what we want, but you do not listen. You never truly listen, for if you did, we would see it in your actions, not in your words. We stand here today to try to set things right, to know our voice has been heard, and demand you to become more transparent and to divest from fossil fuels, and to put a student representative on the board to ensure transparency from here on out and to ensure trust and accountability in your future actions. Thank you.
We will now hear from Camille Duvernois, followed by Valen Krikor.
Good morning. It would be an understatement to say that the board has been in a state of disrepute for the past several years. From major data leaks to massive scandal, the student body, staff, and even our own presidents have lost confidence in the board to govern this university in a socially conscious, and even remotely responsible manner. However, in light of recent events and elections and the board's current volatility, I am optimistic that the members of this board will take this opportunity to change for the better, restoring students' faith in this institution and allowing Michigan State to be a school we can be proud of. Of course, there are a number of student groups who have suggested potential improvements to the board, many of which we co-sign. But our focus is the negligent manner in which this university has handled its investments in unsustainable energy. Not only has the board not met its own promises outlined in the Campus Energy Transition Plan, but it has consistently dismissed the students and staff collective demand for a complete and total divestment. As many other major universities, including University of Michigan, have already done. It is completely unacceptable that a university that's supposed to be one of the top green schools in the nation remains tied up in contracts that directly profit the fossil fuel industry until the 2030s. These contracts intrinsically undermine the futures of, and even the possibility for futures of, the students who were democratically elected to govern. Continued investment in fossil fuels is completely ethically indefensible, and not the position a governing body in such a turbulent position should be taking. I want to be proud of Michigan State. I love this school, but I cannot be proud of an institution that so fecklessly hands over the money my fellow students and I pour into it to corporations that directly impact my chance at a future. And particularly to the investment subcommittee, I understand your responsibilities to accrue capital. I also understand you think we're hippies, idealistic, unintelligent children who understand nothing about the way the real world works. Your dismissive, unimaginative thinking is exactly what is making Michigan State so unremarkable and underachieving in comparison to schools that take risks to transform societal norms and even save the society they exist within. We have to do better. You all have to do better. The board must follow through on the will of its constituency, including the over 1,600 students and staff who have signed our petition, and divest completely from the fossil fuel industry. It is both your duty as a democratically elected official and your moral responsibility as individuals. I hope the board will take this opportunity to change for the better sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from Valen Krikor, followed by Anna Pegler-Gordon.
Good morning. My name is Valen Krikor, and I'm a third-year student here at MSU. I joined the Sunrise Movement a year and a half ago, and since then, my colleagues and friends have spoken to you now in 15 different speeches for a full year and a half.
You have not listened to us. We've spoken with respect, carefully crafted speeches, and poetic lines. We've spent countless hours strategizing about ways to get you to listen to us, analyze what you care about, and what would make you respond, yet with all this work, you still refuse to listen to us. I'm not doing that today. I'm going to address you bluntly, and maybe this time you'll listen to us. I will not apologize for hurt feelings, broken hearts, or accidental disrespect, because frankly, you have disrespected us for a year and a half. This is an urgent matter. We are taking it seriously, and so should you. You ran for this position. You put time, money, and effort into this position. You took an oath, made a commitment, and devoted 7 years of your life to this position for what? If you are not going to do what your position requires of you, then you should not be here. Some of you have proven that change can be made by devoting your time and energy in things that matter to you, but for the past year and a half, you've sat here and done nothing. 40 electric vehicles are just an expensive Band-Aid on a deep, bleeding wound that will not be healed by pathetic acts of sustainability. You have the responsibility as elected officials to listen to your constituents and act on their concerns. We have come to you for a year and a half and have maybe gotten a few words from you, either congratulating our determination or telling us that we have no reason to be here. You have a responsibility to this community to divest, to do what is undoubtedly the right thing to do. It is clear from your lack of recognition that you simply don't care. That is unacceptable. As an agricultural institution founded on the principles of innovation and forward thinking, do we not believe in science? The clock is ticking. We are not going to be silent. I know you've seen our efforts. I know that you know that we are fighting for this. We are here, and we are not going to stop. Our demands are simple. Firstly, we require public commitment from this board to divest completely and immediately from fossil fuel companies, including capital and hedge funds, where you do not have direct control over the investments. Secondly, we require student representation on the Investment Advisory Subcommittee with voting power to ensure that you follow through on your commitments. And finally, we require reinvestment of that money back into our communities, emphasizing environmental justice. We want to help you. We are offering you solutions, and we want to be there. We want to help you, and yet you are the only thing in our way. You can thank us for our dedication and passion all we want, but until we see real action, we are not going to stop. Do not let our futures burn. Divest now. Thank you.
We will now hear from Anna Pegler-Gordon, followed by Brian Chapman.
Good morning. I am a faculty member, a member of Reclaim MSU, and a survivor of childhood sexual assault. I am here today in support of other survivors and their families. I am here to speak about the planned event to honor Luana Simon this coming Monday. Along with many others, I have questions about this event. Most importantly, why is this happening over the objections of survivors, community members, and apparently the majority of trustees? Melanie Foster and Diane Byram are the only trustees who, I think, have confirmed their attendance. If the others are truly opposed to this event, why did you not stop it in advance? And why have you not voted against it since? It only takes one trustee to make a motion to force a public vote. MSU is a public institution, and the public deserves information about this reception. It is a private event, not a secret event. Why was information about the reception not shared publicly by university communications? Who was invited, and who is planning to attend? We have heard from some trustees that they will not go. But what about administrators? Interim President Woodruff, will you commit publicly today, before you leave this boardroom, not to attend this event? If you are attending, will you tell us why? You have avoided answering these questions so far. If you're not willing to tell us, your colleagues and the public What does that say? I won't ask why this event is currently scheduled for this coming Monday. It is obvious to everyone that holding this event on the week after finals and commencement and the day before grades are due was intentional. It was designed to make it impossible for most members of the MSU community to protest, and it is insulting. 3 years ago, trustees allowed Luana Simon to retire with the promise of portraits and a massive $2.45 million payout. As survivor Grace French said then, this deal let us, the community, quote, the community and survivors, know that the culture of abuse and lack of accountability will continue at MSU. Time and time again, MSU has broken trust with survivors, with the MSU community, and with the public. This culture of abuse, lack of accountability, lack of transparency is continuing today. It has to stop.
We will now hear from Brian Chapman, followed by Mindy Arbaugh.
Good morning. My name is Brian Chapman, and I'm a student at MSU through a program called DVAP, Disabled Veterans Assistance Program. And a couple of years ago, 2013, I helped the university celebrate a centennial moment. It was the first time the university went undefeated. It was the first time they beat Michigan. It was the first time they had a black player, Gideon Smith. I'm here today to talk about another centennial moment that's going to happen next year. And that centennial moment is the 100-year anniversary of John Hanna's graduation from Michigan State. He only went here 1 year. But I feel that it'll be important that we put that on. It's the 100-year anniversary of the current site of the football stadium. And it's the 100-year anniversary of the second black man to play football at Michigan State, Harry Graves. A couple of years ago, I'm walking in front of the statue, and I read the statue, the plaque on the right. You know, they got those rocks with the plaques in it. And it said that Hanna graduated from MSU. I almost passed out because I turned back around and went to the back to the library and opened up the 1923 yearbook, which is called The Wolverine. And they were on opposite sides of the paper. They were opposite. You got the G's for Graves, and you got the H's for Hanna. I was like, wow, this is deep. Because I didn't know at this point. I didn't know at this point that he was a graduate. So I go over to my college, Agriculture College, and I started doing some initial research on Hanna. And this is what I know. This is what we could talk about. We only got this opportunity one time. You can't celebrate this 100 year this year. You can't celebrate it in 2024. So when you think about Hanna, you're thinking about the first chairman of the Civil Rights Commission. You talk about when Dr. Warden, Hanna did some fundraising for Dr. Warden. You talk about one of the Little Rock Nines, Robert Green, was protesting Hanna. And he ended up, when Hanna died, he ended up finding out that he paid for his doctorates. You talking about when University of Chicago left the Big Ten, because they said we're not going to concentrate on football. Hanna strategically knew he needed to get into the Big Ten to put us on the map. And when we talk about the love-hate relationship between Michigan and Michigan State, but when this college was being proposed, Michigan said, no, we don't want them. When we wanted to get into the Big Ten, Michigan voted against Michigan State getting into the Big Ten. So I think it'll be a great opportunity next year. I know we're behind the eight ball, but I think it'd be a great opportunity next year if we get together and plan something. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now hear from Mindy Arbaugh, followed by Stephen Freitag. Is Ms. Arbaugh here? Stephen Freitag, followed by Peter Corsetti.
Hello, my name is Stephen Freitag. I'm currently a junior studying mechanical engineering and a former MSU swim and dive member. So 2 years ago, I signed a contract saying that I would swim at a varsity level for 4 years. Well, look where I am now. The same university that gave me that contract is screwing me over. I keep thinking if they wanted to, they would. If they wanted to put us back in the water, they would do anything in their power to do so. But it doesn't seem like that. Instead, you plead money. A Power 5 university that has a $90 million head coach for football, a Big Ten university that is bringing in a new revenue of $25 million every year for UCLA and USC for joining, is pleading money. I just have one question. What are we doing with that money, the $25 million every year? What are we doing with that money? We discussed a plan to get swimming and diving back into the athletic budget, saying that donors had to sponsor half of the budget over a five-year period. To that, I ask, why are we the only team that are donor-funded? What about soccer or wrestling? They're 100% athletic-funded. In 2021-2022, Michigan State turned a profit of $7.1 million. In 2022-2023, you had a 15% increase in revenue. My question again is, where is all this money going? In February of 2022, Michigan State gave Mel Tucker a $1.5 million raise for his coaches. Where did that money come from? Probably our team. It all just doesn't make sense to me. You keep saying you support us, but I haven't seen a single definitive action taken from any of you. End of the day, we are not a team, we're still not a team, and we do not have a return date. You guys can help us get back in the pool to do something about it. I want to leave you guys with one last thing. It doesn't take a single dime to put us back in the pool right now. We have a pool and we have a time slot. This is all we need. I'm sick of swimming at the club level. I want my promised 4 years of varsity swimming back.
We will now hear from Peter Corsetti, followed by Sheridan Phelan.
Good morning. My name is Peter Corsetti, and I'm a current senior representing the varsity Michigan State swimming and diving programs. Today marks my fourth time taking this podium since the decision to discontinue our program almost 2 years ago. And while Michigan State University still does not have a swimming and diving program, what it finally has is a new chapter. A new chapter led by a new leader, with a new direction, and a new year ahead. Reflecting on 2022, my fellow Spartans and I would sum it up using four words: inaction, broken promises, and avoidance. Those four words describe a university we once represented, we once admired, and once made us proud. Our Spartan swimming community has risen to meet this challenge head on, time again, without fail. However, no matter what we've done over the past 2 years, we barely moved the needle. As I enter my last semester and reflect on my time here at Michigan State, I'm left with mixed feelings. As a kid, I always dreamed of swimming at Michigan State University. And when I had the opportunity to come here, I was filled with pride and fulfillment. I had achieved my dream. However, after enduring the past 2 years of this battle, it's hard to see the Michigan State I once knew. However, we can fix that feeling. Fix our team, fix our university, but time is of the essence. Each and every day, week, and month, we burn without action, we risk starting from square one. The class of 2024 is the last class prior to the discontinuation of the program. The last class to pass on the traditions, the sportsmanship, and the pride of what it means to be a Spartan swimmer. Right now, we have all the components necessary to immediately restart the program. We have athletes wanting to compete. We have a regulation-sized NCAA pool. And we have the support of our truly amazing alumni. That equation changes, though, as we move further into the future, and only becomes more difficult. And as I said before, the new year is a time for reflection, is a time for hope, but most importantly, is a time for change. Our team, our family of Spartan swimmers, will be here in 2023, much like we were here in 2022. But the question is, will Michigan State University? Thank you for your time. Go Green.
We will now hear from Sheridan Phelan, followed by Sydney Kelly.
Hello, board members, Interim President Woodruff. My name is Sheridan Phelan, and I'm a varsity swimmer, and I'm here to talk about our legacy. About 2 years ago, I remember logging into a Zoom meeting that was called Breakfast with Bill, being Mr. Beekman, the former athletic director. At that meeting, I asked him, Mr. Beekman, how could the decision you made to cut the program be difficult when you did not involve the stakeholders in the decision? Spoiler, he didn't have an answer. I wasn't originally planning to share that story. In fact, none of what I'm about to say is what I was going to. But in the spirit of what Trustee Foster said today, I want to pose the question to this board as well. Where was the effort, the collaboration, the problem solving, the MSU Spartans will spirit that is boasted about? One meeting with AD Howler, one meeting with you, Interim President Woodruff. I do want to thank you for that meeting with my teammates about a week ago. I wasn't able to make it in person, but I do want to correct you on one of your assertions, that there is no issue with the pool. The pool at IM West is a regulation NCAA pool, and we are committed to swimming that pool. I will be graduating this spring. My opportunity, I understand, is a little bit too late to swim for this school. But the next best thing would be to see my teammates who are remaining for another year to have that opportunity to swim, something they committed to MSU over 3 years ago, then eventually seeing a program that would give swimmers in Michigan a chance to swim at a college level. Let's be clear about one thing. Dr. Stanley and Mr. Beekman made a bad decision, and it seems that that decision has left us to be treated like trash. No communication about the issue, no justification about the issue, and no closure about the issue. And it seems that you're also committed to keep that decision. I really thought that after the meeting for these past 2 weeks, that Mr. Howler, Mr. Gore, you would take advantage of the commitment the alumni have worked tirelessly since October 2020 to reinstate the program, that we would be working together to rebuild a 100-year program so it would last 100 years more. But here I stand at this meeting, blindsided once again like I was 2 years ago, October 2020. Your legacy as board members could have been one that restored the unjust ways this program was cut, but you stand behind the minimal effort decision that I may remind you was made when I was in high school. I had hoped that my legacy as an MSU swimmer might include a record on the wall at IM West, but instead it seems that my legacy will be as a Title IX plaintiff, one who stood up with my teammates to hold MSU accountable for not providing fair athletic opportunities for women. Moving forward in this case, I want to remind you that when Title IX was established, it was not used to be as an excuse to cut men's teams, but an opportunity to add women's. And with that, I still hope my legacy will be included in successfully reinstating the swim and dive program. We are still varsity swimmers. We didn't retire. We didn't quit the team. MSU quit on us. Thank you.
We will now hear from Sydney Kelly.
Hello. My name is Sydney Kelly, and I am a junior, and I was on the varsity Michigan State swim and dive team. Today, I would like to talk about the current administration's aversion to listening to students about their experience. In the past few weeks, the student swimmers have finally had the opportunity to meet with Athletic Director Haller and Interim President Woodruff. While I was incredibly grateful for these meetings and the progress we seem to make, I felt frustrated by the lack of urgency that has been expressed in these meetings. We have yet to see any definitive action on a 2023-2024 season. Instead, we have been given excuse after excuse as to why, after 2 years, it is impossible to move faster. We have been told that the university is hundreds of years old, so there's no rush to change things quickly. That the plan needs to be perfect for all of the future students that will attend this university, and that even if we don't get to swim, at least we will leave a great legacy. I have been asked over and over again to see things from the university and administration's perspective. Now I am here to ask for the university to see my and my teammates' perspective, to understand that we are only here for 4 years of the university's long life and are rapidly running out of time to swim again, that our presence on the team will drastically improve recruiting and allow us to be the bridge to a new team of future students, that my legacy at this university will mean nothing to me if I am not allowed to swim again. I understand that the board has a commitment to the long-term state of the university and to future students, but you also have a commitment to the experience of current students like me. By delaying reinstatement, you are failing, not just on the commitment to current students, but on all of those commitments. Bringing back swim and dive as soon as possible will allow all of the swimmers left on campus to finally have the experience we were promised and prevent the swim team from having to rebuild with no current swimmers remaining. I would like to address Interim President Woodruff specifically. 8 days ago, I sat in this room, and you told me that the swim team was a purely financial issue and that you were looking for a path forward. Following Trustee Foster's comments today, it seems you are no longer looking for a path forward. How is it possible that you have decided that a purely financial issue is unsolvable in 8 days without meeting with a single alumni donor? At the last meeting, the board requested that Athletic Director Haller meet with our group by the end of the semester to discuss a plan. And for the first time since he began as Athletic Director in September of 2021, he met with student athletes and began speaking with our alumni. Since your requests clearly have significant impact on the future of our team, I am asking you to expand your request to the athletic director. I'm asking you to expand a demand to the athletic director to include a commitment for 2023-2024 season. Not a vague plan to eventually have a swim team, not 5 years from now in a perfect situation, a team next year, a team that I can swim on. Thank you for your time.
That concludes public participation.
Thank you. Next, we'll hear from the liaisons, and I would like to first go to the students.
Ani, bonjour, hola. My name is Stevie Kehouse. I'm the at-large liaison. Firstly, I would like to thank the interim president, President Woodruff, for truly being all in at MSU. This semester has been tumultuous, but she's truly ushered in stability with grace and elegance, and she's been very willing and ready to work alongside students, and I hope that this commitment continues in the future. Going forward, though, it is necessary to increase student representation and consultation beyond the four liaisons that sit here in the boardroom. As we have seen by protesting at basketball games, football games, and here today, our students have demonstrated their belief that MSU's current investments do not align with the moral values of the student body. I hope that our financial administrators will re-foster trust, transparency, and accountability with these stakeholders by actually meeting with them. MSU's slogan is Go Green, and our students want to help us live up to this not just as an ideal, but as a practice. Despite the tumultuous nature of this semester, our community has and will continue to prosper through it. I'm committed to working alongside this board to address the very issues that were brought today by the public in this room. And at the same time, I think it's very necessary to urge the board to hire a communication firm to better convey their messaging, not only to the student body, but also to the public and to alumni. I hope the public servants who are democratically elected to govern our university no longer operate under secrecy and the guise of goodwill, but meet with their constituents and provide clear, consistent communication. Chimigwech, and always go green.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joe Kovach. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm the undergraduate student body president at Michigan State. So our first thing that I want to say is that ASMSU, as always, stands firmly in support of divestment from all fossil fuel investments. $90 million is far too much to have in investments that continue to shorten how long we have left on this earth. $1 is far too much. A degree means nothing when the planet is uninhabitable. Next, ASMSU did vote for the following asks in the permanent presidential search. We ask that the presidential search process should be an open search in which MSU community members can review the finalists. We ask that the presidential search process is robust, transparent, and accountable to the MSU community. We ask that the composition of any presidential search committee should be representative of the MSU community. And we ask that a minimum of 4 undergraduate students serve on the presidential search committee representing the various student governing organizations on campus. As always, and I'll keep saying it as long as y'all keep coming, ASMSU stands firmly in support of Swim and Dive. And we'll continue doing everything we can to get these students back in the pool swimming at a level that they deserve to be competing at. I sincerely hope you all will do the same. This board needs reforms. I know it. They all know it. You all know it. It's time to commit to public votes for all board decisions, to amend the powers of the chair, to allow student voices on all board committees, to hire a communications director, and to strive for transparency to build the trust of this university back. I want to end today with some numbers because I hope they sound familiar. $2,450,000. That's the total amount of the salary payments Luana K. Simon was allowed to gracefully retire with. As Grace French, a very inspiring sister survivor, has said, the fact that Luana K. Simon was allowed to retire with dignity is unacceptable. Another number I hope you remember is $500 million. That's the amount that this university paid to survivors that you failed to protect, over 300 of them. I want to be hopeful that I am safe on this campus. I want to be hopeful that this board has my best interests at heart. However, when this board secretly sends out private invitations to a reception to celebrate a president under whom over 300 people were victimized, it's hard to feel like anything has changed. When all that we have heard regarding what happened with our last president is that they were asked to step down because of failure in Title IX certification, but this board has plans on Monday to celebrate someone who failed this university and failed to protect over 300 people from one disgusting monster of a person, I wish I could understand how that makes sense. This board has repeatedly made the wrong decisions and further victimized the survivors in doing so. This board decided to not release the over 6,000 documents to the Attorney General regarding the investigation of the university's handling of Nassar sexual abuse, citing attorney-client privilege. I know that at least a couple of you have read these documents, but I also know that several of you did not do your due diligence on the Title IX certification because you did not feel as if you were qualified enough or did not understand how to read through those reports. So excuse me if I don't feel entirely confident in trusting your opinion on that subject. The board choosing to have this meeting when most students have left for winter break, this reception when most students have left for winter break is also extremely disappointing. I would love just once to be able to see that the MSU Board of Trustees is in the news and not have to worry about why. I'm deeply disturbed by the actions taken by this board that not only harm the sister survivors further, but let survivors on this campus know that you are not allies to us. I appreciate the few members of this board who reached out and were transparent about your similar concerns with this reception and for always being reachable to students. I implore you all to take a look at yourselves and who you're meant to serve. I implore you to speak with survivors and commit to reform. The Spartans that I know, the ones that we all serve, deserve better than this. We are better than this. It takes one of you to force a public vote against this, and I hope you do the right thing today. Thank you.
Women and counting, 505 survivors.
You have time to stop that reception, to vote against it. You should not leave this room until you've done that. Otherwise, it's an absolute smack in the face to every woman who was raped and molested on this campus under your leadership.
Hi, I'm Carly Gomez. I'm the VP of Internal Affairs for the Council of Graduate Students, and I'll be speaking on behalf of that council today. On December 7th, the Council of Graduate Students, or COGS, passed a resolution to increase donor accountability. This resolution called for Michigan State University to increase donor accountability policies to prevent the glorification of individuals or organizations that do not align with the university's values. This resolution passed 33-03, yes, no, abstain. More specifically, we wanted to show that we are in favor of the MSU Board of Trustees making it possible to remove honorifics such as building names, plaques, and statues. This is a major oversight in MSU policy that has made it difficult to, for example, reverse course on the removal of Larry Gaynor's name from the Broad College of Business Gaynor Entrepreneurship Lab, following racist comments he made towards people of Vietnamese descent. Honorifics are important because they are often public-facing and intended to glorify the legacy of the person in question. Current policy implies that MSU wants us to look up to the decisions that these people made and that they are powerless to do anything about it. It is a poor reflection of the high standards that we set for MSU students, faculty, and alumni, and administration, one that we do not want to follow us for years to come. Please consider expanding donor accountability to include honorifics. In addition, COGS would also like to affirm that they support ongoing efforts to bring back the MSU Swim and Dive program. In addition to the arguments put forth today, there are graduate students on the MSU Swim and Dive team, and they believe that the addition of a pool to campus would benefit not just the swim and dive team, but also recreation swimmers and the athletics department as a whole. However, we cannot condone taking more money from graduate students who are trying to make ends meet in order to right the financial wrongs of the past. For this reason, we ask that all monetary decisions with regards to swim and dive be, one, transparent, and two, made with consent from the graduate student body, as has been suggested today. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you to our student liaisons. We know this is the end of the semester. It's graduation weekend, and we wish you the best over the holidays. And please rest, regenerate, and we're looking forward to working with you next year. Now, faculty liaisons, Dr. Kelly, Blake.
Thank you.
So good morning and happy holidays. Congratulations to Trustee Kanaki Jefferson on her election to a full term as trustee. We look forward to working with the new trustees and the newly comprised MSU Board of Trustees in January. We want to congratulate Interim Provost Yaichiko. Also, we want to thank you, Trustee Foster, for your work with the MSU Board of Trustees, and we wish you luck in your future endeavors. If I might say so, you are really rocking that velvet jacket. And although it is green, I'm sure Prince would approve. We are pleased to see the good work of the interim president, the newly announced improvements to the eligibility criteria for the MSU 403B base retirement program is a welcome development. The University Committee on Faculty Affairs is beginning budget discussions, and we look forward to working with administration and the board as those discussions proceed. We appreciate the opportunity to provide input about the president search. This semester indeed has been challenging, but we kept the train on the rails because we kept showing up and we kept doing the work. There is no doubt that hard work remains. We want to support our students to ensure that they have the best access to the very best mental health services that we can provide. We want university staff to have the compensation and resources at their disposal that will allow them to thrive and to succeed. We want transparency from the board about the Quinn Emanuel report. We cannot continue to get information about university business from the press. We want the board and the institution it represents to be proactive and bold and show transformational leadership, to choose to do better and to be better. We want the board to learn to trust its members and to trust its mission as institutionalists working for the welfare of the MSU community. Indeed, we have much work to do. We want you to be ready to do the work with us. Thank you.
We wish the faculty and the academic support staff all the best over this holiday season, and we also hope that you use that time to regenerate and ready for another full year, full semester. Professor Rucker, in his presentation, brought to mind the important role that both our faculty as well as the teaching community really play in the lives of our students. And I want to take this opportunity on behalf of the board to share some comments about our support for the academic faculty here on campus. MSU's biggest investment and a critically important asset is the exceptionally talented faculty and staff, the core of the Spartan community. Just as it says in the 2030 strategic plan, our commitments to supporting the success of undergraduate and graduate students, responding to community needs, and addressing the challenges of a changing world are not without a substantial commitment to the well-being of our staff and faculty. Our faculty are world-leading, highly renowned, and respected leaders and experts in their fields. Our board is proud of the highly prestigious academic awards and National Academy members that our faculty represent, as well as the daily effort to educate and champion our students. We hope that our work as the Board of Trustees creates a successful and supportive environment for our faculty to succeed. This is graduation weekend, and we're going to put the trustee scholarship awardees for this semester up on the board. As their names are scrolled, please acknowledge their scholastic academic achievement. They represent 4.0 grade point averages. Last night we had the opportunity to recognize these students, both from the summer semester as well as this semester, and their families and friends at a reception. I personally had a chance to go around the room, and I spoke with nearly all of the honorees last night, and I asked them basically, what was your major and what are your next steps? And I continue to be absolutely amazed at all of the great things that our students are doing. There were 50 recipients for this semester. I would close at this point in time and just wishing everybody a wonderful holiday season. Enjoy the extra days over the holiday break, because there's much work ahead of us to do together as we approach 2023. Thank you.
Vice Chair Kelly.
Thank you. Just a couple of thoughts today about board meetings and what we've been through over the last couple of them. First of all, I don't claim to be an expert, but I do attend two board meetings a week and have for probably 25 years. And I've advised boards and sat on boards. The one thing that I've learned over those 25 years is that board meetings are for the business of the university. It's very nice to have Mr. Rucker come and sing and the music, and certainly all of the input from the public needs to be had. But at the end of the day, board members are here, as I said, to do the business of the university. Sometimes that can be difficult to determine. We can have some gray area. But at the end, in my opinion, I know what it isn't. And what it isn't is political speeches or partisan rhetoric. It isn't calling out employees or board members who don't have the opportunity to defend themselves or to rebut. So I just hope that in the coming year that this board will focus on the business of the university. I do also want to make a comment about board member comments. It's the least important thing that we do, because it's not the business of the university, but it always gets the most attention. If I had my druthers, we probably don't need board comment, to be honest with you, but I understand it's First Amendment rights, and so it probably should stay on the agenda. I would say this, though. I think the board member comment should be limited to the same 3 minutes that public comment is limited. I think the clock should run on board members, because in my view, board member comments are just that. They're the comments and they're the opinions of an individual board member. They do not represent the town or the entire board, and they should be given the value of an individual board member's comments. With that in mind, I would prefer that we use board member comments for more positive items. Interim President Woodruff provided me some positive matters that I'd like to announce. These are some people at the university that may not get as much credit. I can't say that I know all of these people. In fact, I don't, but I appreciate the administration pointing this out to us. And these are, we do a lot of recognitions, but my guess is these are the kinds of people that don't necessarily get it. So let me start off with Carly, I hope this name is right, and City in the Office of Sustainability, who for the past 12 years has dedicated her time as a sustainable officer for student life and engagement, where she educates students and trains staff in stewardship practices and implements innovative, sustainable initiatives with the residents and dining halls. The second is the staff of the Power and Water Department, and you know, I always got to point out the DPW being a municipal lawyer, who quite literally keep our East Lansing lights on and our power in the Spartan community. Julie DeGraw, an accommodation specialist in the Human Resource Office of Employee Relations. Julie has served as a neutral party on behalf of the university to bring forward disability-related workplace accommodations since 2020. The MSU 2030 Strategic Plan prioritizes granting an environment in which excellence and opportunity thrive, attracting and retaining talent in a space where staff and faculty can do their best work, and that's what Julie helps accomplish. Robin Ellsworth, a fellow staff in the Digital Classroom Services, who managed the technology and media equipment for 500 classrooms and computer labs across campus. The capital assessment management team within the university procurement and logistics, who helped track and certify our more than 21,000 movable capital assets, 75% of which are used for research and education. And finally, Sally Becker in contract and grant administration, who has worked with the university for the past 15 years, assisting in the execution of non-sponsored program agreements, including MOUs, service contracts, and consignment gifts. She helps ensure that MSU is spending the grant and contract dollars as agreed to by the state. In fiscal year 2021, this office assisted in the management of more than 4,000 sponsored program accounts and approximately $600 million in expenditures. And finally, I want to thank, it was an honor to serve with Melanie Foster for the past 6 years. We'll miss her, and in particular, her budget and finance background and history and excellence. So thank you, Melanie. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I have a wedding on, my daughter has a wedding. Maybe that's what's throwing me off. On New Year's Eve, so it's going to be a busy time for the Kellys, but I'm looking forward to it. So thank you all. Thank you.
Trustee Vassar.
That was longer than 3 minutes.
I violated my own rule.
Just want to know, you got to love this board, right? I don't agree, and now. I'm going to take 5 minutes. So, MSU students, and I heard you all, Sunshine, so I'm not going to congratulate you on your persistence and passion. I'm not going to do it. But I just wanted to know, as you talked, I just thought of all the adjectives, astute, engaged, sophisticated, tenacious, seemingly tireless, and that would be for the alum as well, who continue to come to these meetings. And so what I would do today is focus in on the advice that Vice Chair Kelly gave and talk about what's positive. So what happens in undergrad, obviously here at MSU, the values and the skills that you acquire, they persist throughout your whole lives, because you could see it in a through line from your comments and your engagement today and your activism. So that gives me hope for my daughter, who may graduate pretty soon here from, she says she's a senior, so pretty soon she'll be graduating from MSU. And it also gives me a lot of gratitude for the Spartan that I love the most, who is my husband at home. I just want to thank him for these 2 years that I've served on this board, for picking up all the slack, being my partner, and thinking with me through a lot of the issues that I've faced on this board. I'm super appreciative to you, Lucius, and I thank you so much for putting up with me. He did get a good deal, though. I just want to be clear. He won. So since our last meeting, I've been really busy doing MSU work, and I was honored to keynote this year's Michigan ACE Women of Color collaborative virtual luncheon, and I just wanted to thank that committee, Kathy Smith, Cindy Leverich, Chastity Gaither, and Ann Crane, and our own Melissa Wu was a speaker, Marita Gilbert, and Daniel Flores Lopez. And in that talk, I really think about leadership, right? I teach leadership, I study leadership, I research leadership. And I was talking about the difference between transformational leadership, which I think transformational leadership is really important, right? It's intellectual stimulation, it's motivation, it's individualized consideration, but it's also moving a group to a co-created evolution of greatness, right? But I really want us to get to transformative leadership. And transformative leadership begins with questions of justice and democracy, right? It critiques inequitable practices, and the critique is actually what is making the institution stronger. It's not to tear it down, it's to build it up. And addresses both individual and public good. So it's toward a more equitable future, a more just future. And that's the kind of leadership that I'd like to see on the board. And I'd like to see from our administration. So I appreciate the faculty liaisons who are breaking barriers in so many ways. Dr. Anthony, Dr. Kelly Blake, you all are doing work that this is about glass ceilings. This is what they gave me as a memento and a thank you. Breaking all kinds of ceilings with your leadership, and I just appreciate you too. For your engagement. And I really needed that talk for myself, to edify myself, to restore myself, to rejuvenate my own leadership vision and mission. And I'm excited. I'm excited to imagine a narrative where women bring their skills and talents to their spheres of influence. We do change the world together. I do want to say that as President Stanley was leaving, I had an exit interview with him. I just wanted to get his thoughts about some things, his assessment of the board, his critique of me. I didn't plan this, but I am a student of Jesus, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Prince. And here we go. Right? I love Prince. Anybody who knows me, I love Prince, and one of the things he talks about is getting constructive criticism and critique from people that he thinks are smart. What do you think about me, President Stanley? He said a lot of things, but one thing that he did say that stuck was, you should give more compliments. I'm not a big complimenter. If you do something really outstanding, I say yes. But if you make your bed in the morning, okay. I mean, that is of no consequence to me. So, but I thought about what he said, and people do thrive on hearing what they're doing well. So, just want to take time, and I know you're hating all of this, Vice Chair, so it doesn't matter. I'm still going to do it. I do want to take time and go through the board with just one word adjective of what I see in those people. One would be Brian Quinn. He is a board member, although he doesn't want to be. He is. And I would say that he is responsive. I would say that Brianna is passionate. And I would say that Melanie is a fashionista. And I didn't even plan this, I'm telling you, but she came, right? I mean, I already had that in my mind that I was going to say it, and look how she shows up. But also, Melanie, I'm just going to say one more word about you, is dedicated. And I just appreciate all your dedication to this institution over the years. And I do, like the Vice Chair, hope that you stay engaged. To Diane, I would say highly skilled. That's a hyphenated word, so it's still one word. I would say I had so many, Kelly, it was hard for me to come up with something. But I would say my word for you is effervescent. And for Renee, I would say that you are thorough. These folks had, and I'm going to give honorable mention to Wu, who is always hungry. You all, you don't hear.
You skipped Dan Kelly.
Because why? So, I'm going to give honorable mention to Wu, because Wu is always hungry. You don't hear her, but she breaks my concentration because her stomach is growling the whole meeting. Going back to Vice Chair Kelly, who actually is one of my favorites, and I would say Ace Boon Koon. You probably don't even know what that means,
right?
So you have to look it up later. Yeah. But it's a real high compliment. It's a high compliment. I think you're steady and solid. So this serving on this board has been still my pleasure. It's been a hard year, a hard 6 months. This semester's been kind of awful. But it's still my pleasure, and I'm still doing the work of the university. Black Friday after Thanksgiving, on Black Friday I did an event for Detroiters. These families come and learn how to go to college, learn how to get scholarships. And this year I represented MSU, and I want to bring a big shout-out to John Ambrose, who at the last minute was clutch, gave scholarships to these folks who might come to our school as alum, and I spent the Friday morning with them. And that last week, Interim President Woodruff, along with the admissions team, I just want to thank Dave Weatherspoon as well for his leadership. They all visited Cass Tech, Cass Tech and Renaissance. Now, if you're in Detroit, you know you have to choose either your Renaissance or your Cass Tech. I'm Cass Tech. My husband was the PTA president of Cass Tech for this alleged senior that we have. And so the classrooms that they visited had Spartan alum as teachers. Right? And they also had one of the pilots for AP African-American history courses. And so I'm grateful that we have an outreach to the West Side, and that we are really committed to the increased opportunities for young Detroiters' success. Lastly, last month, I retreated with 10 Detroit Black women principals to do work on wellness. And I would give that credit to Dr. Zen Norm. We all work very, 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 very hard. Everyone in this room is a leader. You show up as leaders. You're doing the work of leaders. It is exhausting. That work is exhausting. It's never ending. It's tireless and it's exhausting. And Dr. Gage, I thank you for bringing us the eclectic research that you always bring. And Mr. Rucker, his unexpected commitment to K-12 schools was refreshing to me. I just appreciate his commitment. One of those principals that he's visited those schools was at that retreat, Lisa Reynolds at Detroit School of Arts. And we did necessary work. It's a Skillman-granted work on wellness. It allows us to focus on our leadership, but how we're taking care of ourselves. So we had a time. Rest, joy, love, good food, spa, photo shoot, the whole situation. We had a great, outstanding time. And it made me really think about, in 2023, how committed are you going to be to your own wellness? How are you going to pause, be still, sit with yourself, and love yourself? Those same principles will have a vision. I usually do vision boards with leaders every year at my home. We'll do that with the principals this year, and we'll set personal mission statements and a vision board. I would encourage all of you to do the same. Think about your own core values. Think about who you want to be and who you want to see as yourself as you show up in 2023. So I hope this new year brings you rest, unspeakable joy, love, good food, the best company, and blessings pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Happy holidays, and I will see you next year. Go green.
Trustee Jefferson.
Thank you. I will try to be both concise and thorough in my remarks, but I appreciate what Vice Chair Kelly said about our remarks as trustees, and so I will try to keep mine within 3 minutes. I want to start by thanking everyone who voted for me, and regardless if you voted for me or not, I really look forward to continuing to serve on this board in a nonpartisan way, in a way that is motivated purely by what's in the best interest of this university. And so, thank you. I want to thank Melanie Foster because she's given me a good example of what that means to set aside the political nature of how we find ourselves here and to really focus on what is in the best interest of the institution. So thank you for your time and service, Melanie. And I want to welcome Trustee-elect Dennis Ditto, who will soon be joining us, and whoever else. We'll have another trustee appointed, hopefully in January, that will be joining us at this table, too. At the end of the year, I want to especially give thanks to our students and our staff, and in particular our faculty, our teaching-focused faculty, our tenure-stream faculty, our faculty who are also administrators. Your commitment to academic excellence, your commitment to campus safety and healing is extraordinary. It is what makes this university a premier destination for everyone who decides to join us. It's your commitment that makes that happen. There are so many examples of how this manifests that I could share, but I'm going to offer just one as I conclude my remarks now. And that's about our Leadership Fellows program here at Michigan State. I appreciate that Interim President Woodruff also opened my eyes to often the many things that we don't see, but the incredible things that are happening. And to me, this is an example of that commitment to academic excellence, but also campus healing and well-being that I'm talking about. And so this Leadership Fellows program is a cohort-based program out of the Graduate Student and Life Wellness Office, where graduate and professional students are working together in a change-oriented way. And so here are just three examples of the kinds of projects that come out of that effort. One is from Vanessa Aguilar, who is creating a four-part workshop that's inspired by a book called Community is Rebellion, a syllabus for surviving academia as a woman of color. She's working on this in order to create a laboratory space for a laboratory space for women of color to share tips, experiences, challenges as faculty members to share that with their graduate students. Sharmila Semaru is creating a peer mentoring program within her department of chemical engineering and material science. And Abhinav Kapoor is addressing financial needs of international graduate students, partnering with the MSU College of Law Tax Clinic. So three examples of that effort, but they're examples of the kind of work that happens here every day that makes our world better. It's what's cultivated here, and I am so grateful that I get to be a part of it, to play a small role, but a part of it for the next 8 years. So thank you.
Trustee Teabag.
Oh, I forgot about the order. Sorry. I didn't know I was next. So I will just start by, again, Interim President Woodruff sent all of us, I think, a little snippet that I think is really important for us to remember to share these things. I had the privilege of being part of two different openings of incredible new facilities that are dedicated to students here at MSU, and I just want to remind everyone, I know we brought them up during the meetings, but the first is Spartan Greens. Trustee Scott saw the kickoff of this project last year with ASMSU's Harsana Shahal, and if I butcher the name, I apologize. And both myself and Trustee Vassar participated in the ribbon-cutting ceremony with ASMSU President Joe Kovach and women's lacrosse athlete and employees at Spartans Green. The project was the first tangible project of the student recreational fee, which we implemented last academic year, and is just the beginning of MSU's progress towards strengthening students and health and well-being. The second facility was the Demmer Engineering Activities Center that I also got to be a part of. Electrical Engineering and Advanced Mathematics students Riley Lawson joined myself and the leaders from MSU to celebrate the opening of this on-campus facility for registered student organizations. This 10,000-square-foot building includes a student design center, machine shop, fabrication area, and meeting space for our engineering team collaborations, all of which supports our missions to food students. To missions to further student success. And just as a point of pride, my husband, as an alumni of the engineering school, also got to join me for that. And he was one of the students that was on the formula team who had to go far off campus to work on these vehicles. And just the excitement in all of their faces about this new building was really amazing and a privilege to be a part of. The last thing I want to do, there's one more, just to thank Melanie. I've really enjoyed my time serving with you and have learned a lot. We truly are losing a great person, but also some institutional knowledge that I know you're not leaving us, but you will be sorely missed, and we have learned so much from you, and I appreciate all of your mentorship over the last 4 years. The last thing I want to do is just acknowledge that the holidays are not an easy time for a lot of people. And I just want to make sure that we are all taking care of ourselves and each other, and to know that it's okay to not be okay. I think it's really important that we recognize that for all of us that may have lost someone or are struggling just to get through, but to know that each and every one of you matter and to remember that you matter. So I just want to make sure as we are celebrating things to also acknowledge that it is not always easy for everyone and that it is important that we reach out to those that we love and we care about, and to also make sure you're taking care of yourself. And again, I don't mean to be sad, but I just want to make sure we're remembering that in this holiday time. And I also this afternoon get to be part of the advanced degree graduation, which I'm super excited about. And I want to give a shout out to one of my best friends, Lizzie Nash, who is receiving her master's from the College of Education. So those that will be there this afternoon, I will see you. And thank you and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Trustee Scott.
Well, first I'd like to say thank you to all of those that offered me Kleenexes and, you know, warm regards after I broke down in our last trustee meeting. And in my Mary J. Blige voice, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to shed a tear today. So we are going to do this in a positive fashion, Trustee Kelly. All right, so first, during my comments today, I wanted to make sure I mentioned the MSU Unity Dinner that was held during the November break. The purpose of the Unity Dinner was to provide students and student families that can't leave the university campus during the holidays a break with a safe space, a hot meal, and a place to, you know, celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. The event was attended by various students and their families, and the university served kosher, halal, gluten-free, and vegetarian food, and our volunteers set up and served and also cleaned up. We served between 800 to 1,000 meals for students and their families. It was the 20th year of the Unity Dinner. The name was changed from the Thanksgiving Unity Dinner to the Unity Dinner as an acknowledgement of harm and oppression that the term Thanksgiving has for the Native and Indigenous communities. And it was the first iteration of dinner that was called the Homiesgiving. Isn't that cool? So we had approximately 70 staff, alumni, high school student volunteers from around mid-Michigan, and I'd like to thank our Senior Vice President, Benny Gore, and his team for putting this event together and supporting our student and student families during this time. So thank you, Benny. I'd like to start my other acknowledgments. I'm going to keep this short. So I'd like to just acknowledge what a opera fanatic I am. I love opera, and so, man, just to hear that man's voice, and I think he sang for us previously. In my mind, I feel like as a trustee, I've had a presentation from him before, but each time it's just incredible, and just to know the gems that we have here on campus, it just gives me such chills and a sense of pride to know what we're doing throughout the world. I'd like to comment. I don't know if Mr. Is it Bednarski, if he's still here.
No.
Is he here? I'll skip it then, but man, Farm Bureau knows how to throw a party. And I will just say it was a pleasure to have had the opportunity to attend it in Grand Rapids, and our interim president was there as the rock star from MSU. It was an incredible event, and I wanted to speak some additional words, but I'll save it since he's not here. I wanted to just say for myself, I had no idea as a trustee that we were hosting this reception for Luanna Simon. So it was a surprise to me, and I personally do not support it. I am not attending. I understand, however, that this was part of her settlement agreement, so it is what it is. It was promised to her before my tenure here, and she was promised to have this portrait. So it's a contractual obligation that the university is going to stand by that obligation. But personally, I just want to put it out there that I do not support that. In the back, Brian Chapman, my homie from Muskegon. Thank you for sharing with us. Brian, I had no idea. Like, you could call me up and told me this, but the fact that you came here, that's awesome. Thank you for the historian you are, giving us that information. Perhaps there is something that we can do to celebrate John Hanna next year, so that's exciting to me. I also wanted to talk about several of the you that have spoken, talked about the fact that we are horrible as a board with communications. You are spot on. This is something we recognize. We are going to work towards this. We will have a new board secretary come January. We think that that will assist us better in strategically putting out communications and having or giving information so that people aren't in the dark about why we're doing certain things and our opinions on certain issues. But thank you for that constructive criticism. We do take that to heart, and we understand that that is necessary. I also wanted to say to Sanjay, who I see back there, first off, okay, I'm not going to get emotional. So I just want to say to you, Sanjay, on a personal level, it is wonderful to see you here. I thank you for everything that you gave and have done to MSU to make MSU a better place, the fundraising you've done. We had a meeting, as people know. We received some additional information, and we will act accordingly on that information. And I hope that we make things right. And I see you have a lot of support here. But thank you for everything that you've done, sir. And I just want to acknowledge you for that. Okay? And you're taking up my 3 minutes. Okay, thank you. All right. And then I want to quickly congratulate our trustee scholars. There was one thing, and I do have to say this. Trustee Vassar and I, she whispered to me, she's always right on point with certain things. I'd like to see more diversity. I'd like, when I say that, I'd like to see Hispanic Latinos, and I'd like to see African Americans in that room in the coming years. So we need to work towards that. I didn't see all of the representation that I would have liked to see. But nonetheless, to have gotten 4.0s, I think someone was trying to be funny and asked me if I ever got a 4.0 in a semester. Was that you, interim president? Somebody thought they were being funny. So, no, I could never have done that. And so when I see our students that are overachievers doing the exceptional work that they are doing, I just want to acknowledge them and congratulate their families who raised such smart individuals. So I wanted to say that. I'm almost done. I also want to just say to the faculty that you all have our support, and I know that we're going to get into that later. I want to acknowledge our interim president, who I think has done a remarkable job. Every time I hear her speak, I'm just like, okay, this woman has got it. She understands our mission. And thank you for representing us at such a high level and so well. It's been a joy getting to know you better in this position. Dan's looking at me like, okay. Lastly, my girl right here. Yes, she is the fashionista today. But I admire you for so much more than that you're hot and you look great and you dress well and all of that great stuff. You have really been an inspiration to me. I think, you know, Trustee Tebe was just saying, like, the institutional knowledge that you have brought to this board is going to be deeply missed. And I do hope that you are around to take phone calls when we've got questions, because we are going to need that insight from you.
Thank you.
I admire, gosh, you're just so smart, Melanie. And I admire your understanding of this university at such a broad level and your expertise in finances. Like, it's just, she is a walking calculator and computer. It's just amazing. And I hope to be, you know, at the end of my term, at least a quarter of that as a trustee, and to make and leave the legacy that you've left. It has been an honor to serve with you. I consider you a friend, and I am going to miss you. I feel sad today. This is not a happy time for me to see you walk away, but I know that I'll see you again soon. So I just wanted to say that everyone have a Merry Christmas. You know, Dan thought he was going to be funny today. He said he was going to bring boxes of Kleenex for Trustee T-Bay and I, but I got through it without crying. But I think it's okay, Trustee T-Bay, that we are the emotional ones on this board. It is okay to show emotion. It is okay when you have the need, as she spoke to take care of your own mental health, as Trustee Vassar also talked about. And so in talking to people over the last couple days that I've been on campus, it sounds like we all are in need of this break. Take the time to care for yourself so that we can come back next year refreshed and ready to do the business of MSU. So thank you. Happy holidays to everyone.
Okay, I think it's back to me, Brian.
It is back to Chair Byron.
Okay. I didn't talk about Melanie during my board comments because I have the pleasure to read the resolution. So the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University today extends this resolution of appreciation to Trustee Melanie Foster for her dedicated service to the university and the families of the state of Michigan. Trustee Foster is a veteran of higher education governance and the longest serving member of the current board. She first joined MSU Board of Trustees from 1991 to 1992 under appointment by Governor John Engler. Appointed to the Central Michigan University Board of Trustees in 1997, she chaired a national presidential search there and served until 2004. Trustee Foster returned to the MSU board upon her 2004 election and was reelected in 2014. She served as its board's vice chairperson, co-chaired the presidential search committee, and has chaired the budget and finance committee since 2015. She also currently chairs the board's investment advisory subcommittee, is on the committee of student life and culture, and serves on the board of directors of the MSU Research Foundation. Devoted to the university and its community, Trustee Foster led the effort to renovate the historic Cowles House into a first-class venue for celebrating the achievements of MSU students, faculty, and staff, for hosting receptions for honorees and friends of the university for a residence for the MSU presidents. Trustee Foster, throughout her university governance tenure, has been an advocate of affordability and accessibility, supporting steadily rising levels of student financial and financial aid budgeted by MSU. She has helped oversee the transformation of the university campus with numerous new facilities, including the Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum, the Edward J. Minskoff Pavilion at the Broad College of Business, the STEM Teaching and Learning Facility, and the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. In addition to her service on the MSU board, Trustee Foster has served as MSU's Wharton Center Advisory Council, the Kapler Area United Way Board of Directors, and the Michigan Dyslexia Institute. Trustee Foster earned her bachelor's degree in ornamental horticulture in 1977 from MSU. Sorry about the date, Melanie. Raised in the landscape and sod farming industry, she was vice president and CEO of a commercial landscape company she built into a nationally acclaimed enterprise with offices in four states. She also led a commercial real estate firm in Orlando, Florida, that specialized in theme park projects. For her many years of service in higher education in Michigan and her leadership as a member of the MSU Board of Trustees through an eventual period in her life at the university, the MSU Board of Trustees conveys its appreciation and its admiration to Melanie Foster. I will move the resolution. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Melanie, before I hand the floor over to you, I also want to mention your 15 years on the MSU Foundation. I think that is a record. And during that time, I could read as lengthy a description of that service. I will not do that. I've taken more than 3 minutes probably at this point. But I do want to mention that during Melanie's tenure on the MSU Foundation, MSU Research was provided over $185 million in grant funding. And to quote Dave Washburn with the foundation, Melanie was a stable, consistent, and trusted advisor to the foundation executive committee. Melanie, I am going to miss you deeply.
Thank you.
And all of your advice and your deep history. If you wanted to know something about MSU, you asked Melanie.
Yep.
If something was going astray, Melanie would be on campus checking it out. Your colleagues will call on you. I'm sure you're just a phone number away. So with that, the floor is yours as the last word.
Well, thank you.
I'm really humbled. Although this may be a record meeting today.
I'm not sure.
This is a convention.
But today does represent the culmination of my 25 years of service on public university boards in the state of Michigan. A lot has changed on the banks of the Red Cedar River since I first sat at this board table in January 1991, replacing Kathy Wilbur. I've had the honor of serving with 7 presidents of Michigan State University, which I didn't fact check, but I think that might be a record unto itself. My journey at MSU has enriched my life in so many ways, meeting U.S. presidents, world leaders, Fortune 500 CEOs, and sports celebrities. Taking part in our amazing Izzo men's basketball legacy and attending 5 Final Fours. Visiting the White House in 2007 with our national championship hockey team, and very significantly, being in the room, the historic moment, MSU was awarded the FRIB project by the U.S. Department of Energy. And through Thomas Glassmacher's leadership, we cut the ribbon on that facility earlier this year. I am the longest serving trustee on the MSU Research Foundation and very proud of their efforts, and I know a few of the foundation members are here. Thank you for coming. And it's wonderful that they've been able to give back at such a generous level to MSU. As chair of the Budget and Finance Committee for the last 8 years, we as a university have accomplished great things, including helping launch and oversee an exceptionally successful in-house investment office. And through Chief Investment Officer Phil Zecker's impressive leadership, our endowment has grown to nearly $4 billion and has generated over $1 billion to fund scholarships, professorships, and programs on this campus. The role of the Chief Financial Officer was established in 2021 and admirably filled by Lisa Frace. Through Dan Bowman's leadership, infrastructure planning and facilities have added nearly 3 million square feet of research, teaching, and administrative space, including such projects as the iconic Zaha Hadid design, Eli and Edith Broad Museum, and the national award-winning STEM teaching and learning building. And as a landscape professional, I just have to do a shout out of what a beautiful campus we have and how well-maintained it is. So, of all the projects, as mentioned, closest to my heart, though, is the historic renovation of Cole's House, which is the oldest structure on our campus and the official residence of the president of Michigan State University. As part of that project process, I have my own hard hat. I attended the weekly construction meetings and also stepped into the lane of advancement, raising nearly $2 million to support the project. But today, I have to say the greatest accomplishment of all has been conferring over 198,000 undergraduate and graduate degrees at MSU over a span of 18 years. This represents the culmination of our diligence as educators, administrators, and members of the Board of Trustees, because higher education is a transformative experience and a game changer in society. It certainly was in my life as a young girl from Flat Rock, Michigan, who was the first in my family to not only attend college but graduate from high school.
So, I'm not done. As trustees, we come to this role by partisan politics, but this university is best served when partisanship does not interfere with what is in the best interest of Michigan State University. We've had some challenges within the Board of Trustees the past few years, but I truly mean it when I say it's been my pleasure of serving with the six of you. Truly. Dan Kelly, soon to be the lone Republican. You have shown extraordinary leadership as chair of the Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee, and please be the balance that keeps the group bipartisan. Mm-hmm. Kelly Tebay, a champion of our students. You are compassionate and certainly responsive to their concerns, always. Brianna Scott, you bring passion and compassion to the position and a real dynamic sense of being inquisitive. You just want to drink and learn more about this institution and aren't afraid to ask what you don't know. Rima Thasser, you are one of the most tenacious people I've ever met. And I mean that as a compliment. We might not always agree, but I really appreciate your resilience and dedication. Renee Kaknaki Jefferson, congratulations on your election. And you, a champion of the faculty. As an esteemed faculty member, you understand the challenges of faculty and are so supportive of our amazing faculty here at Michigan State University. And to Diane, we have served 12 years together on the board, but we really bonded when we co-chaired this presidential search. You know, those many nights of half-price wine at the Kellogg Center. So thank you for your leadership as board chair, especially this past 4 years. I know it's been challenging, and I appreciate your resilience and professionalism in that role and our friendship. So, to you in the room, thank you. The leadership, the faculty, the students, everyone here, thank you for representing MSU today. You all have enriched my life in so many ways, and I am eternally grateful. My love for MSU will always be held close to my heart, and as we say, go green!
Go white!
Parliamentarian of this table, I need a motion to approve the resolution honoring the service of Trustee Melanie Foster to Michigan State University, which I believe has been offered. I will suggest that it's been seconded. May I call for the vote? All
aye.
Approve?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. The meeting is adjourned.
Woo! Merry Christmas! Happy Hanukkah! Happy Kwanzaa! Whatever.
Very nice.
We need a picture with the board.
Let's
smell it.
Picture with the board.
Yeah, we've got to get the board.